was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-P-D.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Wednesday. It is 5:45. This is the Morning Sickness. My name is John. There's Brady. There's Brett. There's Toledo. And here we go. Off and running for a glorious day. Once again, I have to just start with a recommendation for, I don't like TV. I don't like movies much anymore. Nothing's really good. Occasionally, you'll run into something that's like, that wasn't bad, but nothing's been like, holy crap, good. I got something. The girl I know in Las Vegas, the casino hostess up there named Erica, texted me last night because we share a lot of TV show similar. And she goes, Baby Reindeer on Netflix. It is dark and it is creepy and it's awesome. It's about this big fat stalker girl who starts kind of stalking this dude who wants to be a comedian, but he's a bartender. Oh, my God. Episode 4. If you can get through it without making one cringy feeling, and it is hard to make me cringe. I am not a guy who goes, oh, that's uncomfortable. It's just TV. Dr. Pimple Popper can't make me as uncomfortable as what goes on in Episode 4. It is. That's a good one.
And you're still in it.
Oh, I'm in it. It's cringy in a good way, like Silence of the Lambs type cringy. Like, oh, my God. Like, if this, you can't imagine what's going on. And it's episode 4 totally deviates from the stalker thing. Shows you this other thing it had. Oh, it's great.
Baby Reindeer.
Baby Reindeer. You may not like it. You might like it. You may. This may be something you're like, well, I'm not looking at that. There's some stuff in there that is, yeah. It's, yeah. There's trans stuff. Not sure. That's not a bad thing, but there's some scenes in there of a man taking advantage of another man, and some it is, yeah, it's like oh. And it's not the gay thing, it's the situation.
It's creepy
for you. It's both. Me, I like watching the gays do it. Ugh. It's new. It's exciting.
Twinking ain't easy, but someone's going to do it.
Twinking ain't easy. And you really realize how hard twinking is, especially ain't never twinked before. The shower part, where he's in there and he realizes what happened to him and how he realizes what happened to him is pretty great. Baby Reindeer. It's British. And the girl in it is about as creepy to me as... I mean, when I watch TV and movies now, all I see is... I don't see a lot of talent. I see a lot of acting. It bothers me. I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. Everyone's acting, and it's not very good. It feels like I'm watching a high school play almost all the time. You know who did that? It's goddamn Marvel movies. They made everybody just sleepwalk through scripts to the point where it's like, okay, nobody even tries anymore. This one is, like, legitimate, and it's a true story. That's the other part. It's based on a completely true story. The dude who stars in it, had it happen to him, he wrote it. It's, oh, I don't know where it's going to go. And my bigger disappointment with most TV and movies, too, is that nothing knows how to end properly. Everything kind of sucks. Last episodes are always crap.
Oh, yeah. And by episode 4, you know why they call it, title it, Baby Reindeer?
You know why they call it Baby Reindeer. Okay. pretty early on. It's you'll see if you want to watch it. But man, oh, man. The chicken is ridiculously good at being unwanted on your television. In a completely, like, almost sad, oh, it's got, you just got to watch it. I don't enjoy much when it comes to entertainment, but that's a good one there. I like true crime stories now. I've just become a housewife, a suburban housewife. I like true crime. I like the ID Network.
Just a step
I like,
away from move to Gilbert
ghost
now.
Hunting.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're getting to that point.
This is no, it's nowhere near ghost hunting. I'm still not a low IQ'd moron. I'm just a housewife. That's basically it. I don't do the podcast, but yeah, it's a Gilbert thing. It's a very Gilbert mom thing. I would go to Postinos and chat it up with the girls for Mean Girl Murders and the ID Network's Evil Lives Next Door. And There's some good ones, but for the most part, and the fact that this actually is a true story, and then I went on like, how true a story is it? It's the dude went down like he read it down like this happened. Like, oh my God, it's crazy, and I loved it. Not done yet though, so maybe just hold off. But I stayed up till about 11:30 watching 4 episodes last night. I'm staying up late. I'm not gonna.
Half hour, 1 hour episodes.
They're about 40 minutes. I wanted to keep going, but baby reindeer.
I must stop.
And the funny thing is, and this is this plays on how I feel, is like the way society works, any of us could fall for, if we were in a position, the rather unattractive, larger, lonely lady with the great laugh. Like, you're supposed to not be judgy and weird about it because you look like, yeah, I'm the same way, Brad. But you could sit and go, oh, she's harmless. She's fine. But what you're doing, it's kind of girl incels. It's the way girls feel about the office weirdo. You don't want to lead him on at all because he might get the wrong idea real fast, real easily. And the next thing you know, you got some stalker in your hands. Same thing with the lonely girl who's kind of gross, physically gross looking, you know. But she's kind of got a nice personality. It's. Like, you start being nice to her, and now you've opened up Pandora's big fat box.
Martha's nice.
Yeah, Martha's nice. Don't read about it. Don't go researching and reading.
I just had to look at what you're talking about.
Yeah, you can look at it. It's a TV show. Look at it on Netflix.
It looks like it fits very well.
Don't go diving in. Oh, yeah. It's got some darkness to it. And I like dark, and nobody knows how to write dark anymore. Everybody thinks they put dark out, and then it ends with some, you know, socially correct nonsense crap. I hate bad endings. I hate, especially now when you're not episodic. It's not week to week. And you get into something and you're like, all right, I'm into this. And then you kind of feel bad stopping. And then it just ends like crap. Again, we always talk about Mad Men.
Yeah, yeah.
How terrible the ending to Game of Thrones.
I didn't watch that one, but.
And you feel like you got involved in something that it ends. I blame Marvel movies. The second every one of them had the superhero landing, where they land with one arm up, one knee down, and then they look up at the camera, and you're like, oh, formula in place. Then the movies became formula in place. Then the acting was just like sleepwalking. It was terrible.
I think it's the Black Widow movie actually makes fun of that.
Well, good. But then it went right into the pattern. It makes fun of itself then, because right into the pattern afterwards of cookie cutter plot. They made it so nobody had to try. We were going to show up no matter what. Fast and Furious. They don't need a script. They don't need to try. We show up. It's bad. This one's not so much that. This is unique. And boy, do they take some risks in that episode 4. It could have just told you about it. Didn't have to show you the penetration. Oops, I let a little out of the bag.
All right, I'm out.
It's fingers, though. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. I'm still here.
He's incapacitated. Don't worry about it.
It's all right.
It's okay. Just wait. It's such a weird, dark episode that before it starts, it gives you a trigger warning. Not like, you know, viewer discretion advised. Like, this is going to make some people pop. You might want to turn away.
It's like 40 minutes of a Brett video.
You know, a little more graphic, and yes. It's a good story. It's very train spotting in its own kind of, like, the guy's Scottish, and it gets into some seedy weirdness. Love it. Baby Reindeer. Highly recommend that. Good stuff. Don't do it during Larry's show. He'll get upset that you left, but, you know, when you get some time at home. I got an email. Remember the guy who emailed us a while ago who was a 911, 911 operator, and he said he was going through some PTSD, and people didn't realize how much 911 operators can struggle hearing the things they hear and being part of the things they hear. Well, oddly enough, he emails us, I guess it was back in, that was March, I suppose, early March, maybe late February. It was March 5th. His name is Derek, and Derek emailed and said, you know, he's had a lot of bad calls, took an especially nasty one that he didn't expect to get him, and then suddenly he can't sleep, he can't move on. The call made him so he didn't want to answer the phone at work, which is not good for a 911 operator, for a guy dispatching the bad guys. And so he took time away, and he's got like PTSD. He's been diagnosed with all sorts of depression and everything else, and he was feeling bad. He emailed us and said, thanks to us, he's feeling good. not just us, therapy and stuff, but he used us as a little crutch to go normal life. Occasionally I can get a laugh out of this and just kind of escape. So we
keep
were happy. Yeah. So nicely, another listener yesterday, or I guess it was a few days ago, emails and says, hey, whatever happened to that 911 operator? Did you ever hear from him? I've been thinking about him. He sounded pretty down. Is everything okay? So I researched on my emails. I just put in 911 operator. He's the only one who's ever emailed me and mentioned it. And sure enough, it finds him, goes back, and I just emailed him. I said, hey, out of the blue, a listener emailed me and said he was concerned still about you. Your letter hit a nerve with him, and he was curious how you were doing. He gets back to me. Derek gets back to me. He says, man, I'm surviving. I'm workers' comp, PTSD, and counseling. Slowly helping, still have a ways to go. I listen to the show religiously still. Even got my girlfriend to go keg hunting with me the other weekend. We were unsuccessful. John, this is the craziest thing I've ever been through. I loved my job. I love Valley Police work. It was my home. All my friends are there. I got hired when I turned 21. I was there 6 years before. And that was 6 years ago. The only thing I ever knew, I love the adrenaline rush. It goes on and on. He said he goes into the call. I'm not going to get into that. The thing that got him, mentally unstable people on the line that was going on in the background while he was listening. It was really bad. He said, I don't mean to bring it down. I'm taking advantage of counseling. I'm doing the things I love. Then it says this. And the reason I'm reading this, you'll get in just a second. It says, your show's been helpful, believe it or not. I hate silence. I have to have something playing. So basically, just as long as we keep rattling the cages, we'll be all right. He said, thank you to that other listener for reaching out and checking on me. The support and the fact that someone was thinking about me actually means the world to me. Thank you for all you do. He said, by the way, here's a photograph. And he included a photograph of his friend who works for the police department arresting Mr. Orange, which I found. That was nice. Nice little, little addition. Then it says, respectfully, Derek. And I'm like, well, that was nice. And then for some reason, I had to scroll down for the P.S. But the P.S. says... And this is from a guy who just poured his heart out to me about, you know, people caring about him. And P.S. I was watching the live stream during the keg hunt. Holy crap, your Jew nose is big. Christ almighty. Thanks, Derek, you doucher. I spent time worrying about you. I could smell trouble with this giant Jew nose. Who does that? All this. I mean, if you look how long this is. I read the whole thing. I'm like, oh, this is lovely. I'm glad he's okay.
And that's another good sign he's coming out of it.
Well, I guess. Or
PTSD.
Or it depressed him further that somebody's got to live with this. And it's, oh, my God. Somebody should call 911 on your dad.
I don't know. It helps him. Kind of grounds him. Like, you know what? I think I have it bad.
I think
but
he's okay.
But I look at that nose.
Yeah. Holy sh! You've got a big Jew nose. Hey, look, Captain Depresso.
You know what? I take it back.
Yeah, I take it all back, Derek. Hey, why don't you go ahead and walk out into traffic? I laughed. I thought it was very funny. But how about that? Through all that, you know, this is what happened, and I just feel like ending it all. Then I saw your Jew nose, and everything felt a lot better about
feel
my
so
life.
Bad,
God, God, how do you do it? Why haven't you hung yourself by your Jew nose? I mean, if I was you, I'd try to suffocate myself, but you need a team of people to plug those giant nostrils. Shut up, Derek. Get back in bed and start crying where you belong. Now I'm going to just mess with Derek, the 911 operator. I'm just going to ask him for his phone number, and I'm just going to make random 911 crank calls to his house. Someone's inside my nose. The call is coming from in the nose. But I giggled at that, so I'm glad he's okay. But, wow, you know, and the real hero in this one, not just Derek doing his job and stuff, some listener.
The listener follow
a month and a half later. Hey, whatever happened to that 911 guy? I was concerned about him. And that's a little baby reindeer, if you ask me.
Now, the real hero is your Jew nose.
Well, all right.
I mean, he got him through some difficult times.
That is true, Brett. That is true. Why, if I was born with a normal nose, maybe I'd have been a model. Instead, it kept me hiding in a radio microphone and learning how to deflect with comedy. I think you're right. The Junos is the hero
here.
My new joke. My Junos is practically patent. Popping up out of a tank. My Junos. Screw you guys. But it could help. And then there's the story that I talked about yesterday that's now it's getting national attention and stuff about that dude that wandered into that house They've called him the pedophilic burglar. You can stop at pedophile. You don't need to add burglar to that. If you're a pedophilic burglar and you come in and go, I'm the pedophile burglar, right? Well, I'm going to go guard the kids. You have at everything else. The burglar part doesn't bother me at all. What about the, like, you can have the word pedophilic in front of pedophilic hamburglar, and suddenly you're just handing that guy a bunch of burgers going, is this going to cover you for a little bit, like half of it? Pedophilic guy who cured cancer. You still have a few questions about the first word. He's just a pedophile. If he took a couple, you know, items off the shelf, consider yourself lucky that he didn't act on the first part of his title. But, yesterday we were talking about it. He was in a person's kid's room. I thought it was a daughter. It's their son. 4-year-old kid. And and evidently the dad started to rough him up. I was talking about it because on Next Door app, all the comments were like, oh, good. Use violence in front of your 4-year-old to show how it solves problems. I'm like, yep. Yeah, absolutely. Did you hear? The pedophilic burglar was in the house. I'm using a whole bunch of violence on that. That's maybe the worst title of a criminal, other than genocidal burglar, I guess maybe. Even still, I think both are really bad. Burglar part, not necessary. The pedophilic pickpocket, there's half of that is just not a thing. Pedophile, boom, across the board, that's it. And evidently he made contact with the 4-year-old. That made it so they're like, all right, we could consider this a sexy crime.
Confirming that he knew what was in the room. That he was so drunk that he was...
Oh, he was that drunk, too.
Yeah, and that he's like, in his mind,
they
he
caught
thinks
him.
He's in the bedroom. He's getting ready for bed.
They caught him. He said, I don't know. I was so drunk, I don't know what I did.
Yeah.
So, but what you did is going to get you the title pedophilic burglar.
That's going to stack on there pretty easy.
So you're a pedophile. Well, no, I'm also a burglar. I mean, like, that's the good part. Like, no, you're getting it all wrong. I'm more burglar than pedophile. Like, no, there's no degrees here. That's it. The pedophilic burglar. Not a good band name.
No.
Yeah, I'm the pedophilic astronaut. It's like, ew, I'm an astronaut, goddammit, I'm a hero. Nah, but the whole thing you said before, that ruins everything. Proving my point once again that once you get attached to that word, at all, you are out on society. That's it. There's no comeback. None. You cannot be brought home, forgiven, anything. I don't know. I don't want to forgive you. I don't want anyone to forgive you. Certain things are forgivable. That's one of them. You're just like, no. You're done here. You're touching kids, little 4-year-old kids. You're breaking it drunk or other. I've been really drunk before. I mean, really drunk. Never did pedophilia cross the brain. Like, I'm so drunk, kids are hot. No, it's not the alcohol that does that. I'd be all for banning it. Nobody gets so drunk that kids suddenly are on the radar. You're going into the game with that. It drops your already installed inhibitions. That's it.
You can understand to a certain level. That one is probably too far. I mean, I had a friend in college that was so drunk, he thought the turntable was the urinal. Lifted the lid.
Sure. I can see you peeing in the wrong place.
Maybe.
A little bit.
Working it.
Nuisance. Probably should lay off the sauce. He does dumb things.
But to any other one, you know, to do it to that level.
To me, drinking to excess like that, the worst that's going to happen is you're going to do something you've always wanted to do sober. It's in your brain. This dude doesn't like going to the bathroom. He likes peeing. He wants to just go when he feels it. So he's like, ah. And said, because I had my ex-girlfriend, I talked to her a few years after we broke up. This was the one who wrote me the Brian Adams letter. She came back. Imagine that. And that was when she wrote the Brian Adams letter. We broke up. We moved on. She did. I was a mess. She moved on. She ends up going with this guy who's a Marine who in the middle of the night comes home drunk once. And this is why she wrote me the Brian Adams letter. Comes home drunk and wakes her up and he goes, I could kill you anytime I want to. Then he went into the closet and started peeing. And then she wrote me the letter like right after. Like,
you weren't so bad after all, Junos.
Why does everybody sign off like that? At the end of this beautiful letter she plagiarized from Bryan Adams, it said, "Love, Jacqueline." P.S. Holy, I forgot how big your Juno was.
It saw it happen at 4 a.m. She was panning the letter by 6 a.m.
6 a.m. She's ready to, I need to move in with Junos. This guy knew, so we went to the closet, peed all over her clothes. And to me, I told her, too, and I think this didn't help the reconciliation. Although I got back in there once. That's why she wrote the letter. She's like, I can't live without that. I told her, I said, he was mad enough at you that he's always wanted to pee on your clothes, and the alcohol was his excuse to do it. You don't get so drunk, ever, to sit back and go, oh, I was out of control. It's something you've always wanted to do. That's why when drunk guys walk up to their bosses, they go, I want to tell you something. It isn't the alcohol. It's what's been stirring around in their sober brain for a long time. The alcohol says, go do it.
Well, it's been called the truth serum.
It's sort of a truth serum. It's more of an inhibitions releaser. You're not necessarily telling the truth because you're babbling, you know.
But you're saying stuff that you normally wouldn't say.
Extreme amounts of racism usually pop out of people. And you're like, oh, he's been harboring that for a long time. That's how I know who a real racist versus somebody who's like, not, you know, like me. Like a bigot towards all people, whites included. But I've never been so drunk that I just start shouting out slurs and all that stuff. This song will always make me laugh. But yeah, she had that guy. You know, that's a rough way to wake up, is that the guy you're with, after you're with an angel like me, wakes you up with the murder threat and then pisses on your clothes.
Sleeps off for a little bit. Good morning, honey. How are you?
Why does it smell in here? Oh, did I get so drunk I pissed all over your outfits?
Yes.
I don't know what I was doing. He knew what he was doing. And then sober him's like, oh, I can't believe I actually did it. Been thinking about it.
I said that?
And then you act like you didn't know. But when you're a pedophilic burglar and you blame the alcohol, it's not the alcohol's fault. If alcohol did that, it would happen all the time. There's a lot of drunk people every day. They'd be like, oh, alcohol makes you a pedophile sometimes. Nope.
Never.
You've been drunk too. You've been blitzed. Been with Brett when he's staggering. Brett's weird about getting drunk because he turns a little bit into like a mummy. Brett doesn't get stagger around screaming drunk. Nope. Brett gets that. I've killed a lot of people
quiet.
Drunk.
Whoa.
Yeah, that kind of thing where he just kind of gets, he's like silent witness over there. He just stays quiet. Whatever happens around him happens. I remember I was at a wedding with Brett, single swinging dick Brett was there. And I didn't know he was as drunk as he was. And there was a chick at this wedding that was, everybody's like, Brett, congratulations. You are back on. This is, you are going to hose for hours. This chick's totally in.
No.
Brett's hands were down to his side, and he's just kind of, he looked like a buoy. He was just kind of bobbing around a little bit. I'm like, I don't think Brett's here anymore. No, he's pretty much gone. And this girl's climbing on him like a jungle gym. Next day, I'm like, how was that? I just went right to bed. I didn't touch it. You got in a car with Ted the next day and threw up all the way home.
Oof.
But I've seen you super drunk, and you never once said, let's go to a playground, because alcohol doesn't do that to you.
You're already on somebody's clothes.
Right, you're already a pedophile before the drinking. You just haven't acted on it yet. And the alcohol is the key to creepy that unlocked that door. Alcohol does not cause the problem. You were the problem. And then you decided to combine the two. But pedophile, burglar. I don't care about burglar part.
What a combo.
Yeah. Well, everything. You can say what a combo. You put pedophile before anything. It's what a combo. And there's only one that matters. Pedophile murderer is the only one worse. He, you know, takes out his victims. But
originally, I was there to steal.
But then
I wandered into a bedroom.
Seeing as how I'm multitasking, I'm also a pedophile, and there was a 4-year-old. So I put down the Hummels, and I went and tried to. And then the dad came in and started to fight me. Violence in front of children. How dare you? And that's where you have to just check the lady on next door. There was a couple of them. Who had the problem with the dad violently removing him and you know, people saying he should have shot him in the head. Oh, violence in front of a 4-year-old. That's a good idea. I was like, did you hear what they call this guy? The pedophile burglar? You don't think You think it's worse that your kid saw some violence to fight off a pedophile than it would have been to... What, you're supposed to go open the door for him and call him out like a puppy? Come on, let's go outside. No pedophilia inside.
Nah, I still say shoot him.
I mean, if I had time to say, hey, cover your eyes, earmuffs. Yeah. Daddy's got to get to work here real quick.
Yeah, I got to start throwing some bows.
We're going to go in the other room.
Let me take the pedophile burglar out of your room, Huns Buns.
Daddy!
No, violence doesn't solve a thing with the pedophile burglar. If you're in my house, and I don't expect you in my house, and it's like 2 in the morning, I'm going to assume you're a pedophile burglar.
Game over.
I'm making the worst assumption ever, and thanks to the news, I now can, with a title. Uh-oh, got one of those pedophilic burglars in the house. And the guy's just there. No, I'm not a pedophile. I'm like, yeah, I don't trust you. I'm just a burglar. Not tonight, just because there's no kids here. Always assume it's a pedophile burglar and rid them of the world. They're from the world.
He'll get more when he's in jail. He's like, I could have had a Picasso, but if it wasn't for that four-year-old.
Yeah, really got distracted in that millionaire art collector's house. Being a burglar, that's hard enough. But add in the pedophile part, and there's some real, you know, I got to stay focused. Damn it. I see a crib. I'm never going to get all these Venus de Milos out of here. Yeah, that guy needs to just drop the burglar part from his card. You know, nobody ever puts like rapist accountant. You're no longer an accountant anymore. You trumped it. It usurps whatever the second thing is. I'm a murderer firefighter. Oh, not a firefighter anymore. The worst, it's, you know, it's like having a minor in college. I majored in psychology. I minored in communications. Shut the f*** up. Who cares what you aren't going to do? It was my sec. I don't care. Shush. Shush, shush, shush. Majored in pedophilia. Minored in burglary a little bit. So I dabble. Yeah. Pedophilia in front of anything, you're pretty much done. So this dude, they had him. They finally caught him. They had him on video all over the house. I'm happy for, you know, literally not a lot of people got hurt, except I'm unhappy that the pedophile burglar isn't hurt worse. Like, at least break an arm. Do something to the guy. Well, he's climbing the fence. Take a bat. You got to have a bat or a golf club or something. You need to whack him one time.
12-gauge.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, okay. So I guess your child learns that if someone breaks into his room, that the only way to solve that is through some type of violence. Yep. You're right. Absolutely.
Yep.
Anybody breaks into your room and you try to be a pacifist at that time, guess what? You're going to become a victim quickly.
I tried to talk him out of it, but there was just no reasoning with the pedophile burglar.
You hear yourself, dumbass?
Imagine that.
Crazy. It's just bananas.
Thank God we got him because
yeah.
It could have been like the Paradise Valley. The 138 houses have been burglarized and pedophiled.
And pedophiled. I like how you said that. Can't pedophile a house. But I see what you're going with.
It's a new description.
Would they even care? Like, would you even report that? He broke into our house. He touched my son. There's also a few things missing. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I checked after the son got pedophiled, as Brady says. And I went around. I guys got my PlayStation 2, by the way. I was pretty pissed off. He's a pedophile and a burglar. You don't care about what got stolen. There's only one thing that matters here. It's stupid. Yeah, your business card says pedophile / anything. You're not the anything part. I'm a world-renowned oncologist / pedophile. Oh, okay. We don't care about your cancer research anymore.
I'm an actor. Can I take your order, please?
I'm a pedophile actor. Can I start you guys off with some drinks? I like to act, but I'm waiting tables. That's what actors are all waiters. Anyway, so I ask of our jail listeners just one thing. Don't cut them any breaks for being a burglar. Don't try. You know what to do. You boys know what to do.
Sending the sisters in after him?
When the pedophiles, burglars, show up to the cell, you boys know how to handle it. And then next door app lady who's got a problem with, you know, not trying to call in a social worker and chat down the situation with the pedophile burglar, just know this. The justice inside those gray walls, that's what most of us are feeling. And that guy's not going to make it through much jail as a pedophile burglar. And how dare you, pedophile burglar, disparage the good name of alcohol by trying to make that the reason why you have these feelings. That has nothing to do with it. I had three drinks last night watching Baby Reindeer and never once thought, this is a good idea. Alcohol doesn't make you do bad things that you didn't already want to do. Certainly isn't any creation or excuse for pedophilia or burglary for that matter. Ever. I have what I like to consider litter Tourette's. Alcohol brings that out in me. That I like to litter when I'm drunk. But I know the real me. There's times when I'm just driving along in my Jeep and the windows are down and I just want to chuck my trash out onto the street. I don't know why I have these feelings. I think it's Greta Thunberg. I don't know. I just feel the need to litter. I fight it. I fight it every day. I want to chuck things out of my car window just to litter.
Your demons are strong.
It's yeah. a weird thing. But
don't
I,
drink. It's only going to get worse.
Litter Tourette's like you have no idea. And when I drink, I like knocking things over. I went to a grocery store once, and I was a little drunk, walking through. We were getting snacks. And I just remember thinking, all this stuff so well organized on these shelves sure would look better on the ground. So I just started to knock stuff off the shelves onto the ground. I started to litter. I started to throw things down. I'm like, this is pretty great. It was a dick move. That's what drunken things do. But I am deep down, I'm not a recovering litter bug. I'm a litter bug. It's day to day. Every day is a day that I don't litter is a good day for me.
I fight those demons daily,
I fight my litter demons like crazy.
And your car sometimes is a good resource. There's a lot of litter in that car.
Sometimes I throw down a lot of things on the ground. And
it just accumulates before you.
You see it. You see it sometimes when I'll put a Coke can.
Empty cans
I'll put
in
it under
your parking spot all the time.
Most of the time it's in yours. And then
trying to put it in
I put them under your car tires. Yeah. And that makes me giggle. I like it. When I'm riding my bike and a bottle, water bottle, falls out of the little holder, I take that earth. I don't know why I get a kick out of littering. I like it. But then I go, stop it. Then I go back and I try to pick up things like that. When I'm drunk, I like to litter. But it isn't the alcohol that makes me litter. I want to litter a lot. But when I'm drunk, it kills the guy who stops me from littering. It makes my litter bug stronger. He's already in there. I got that. Do you have one? Do you have a thing that you're like, when I get drunk, I dot, dot, dot?
No, not really.
Some chicks want to be strippers. We all know the girls that keep it together until they've got a couple of pops in them. And the next thing you know, Susan's topless. How did that happen? We also have had some coworkers that like to say the N-word.
Oh, yeah. And not me. And not me.
No, Brett doesn't do that. Brett just laughs at racism. But I think that's why I love what you laugh at. It's like, are you kidding me? He hears things that are accidentally racist before most of us. And when he's laughing, you're like, all right, what slur was out there?
The world is just crazy.
That's the fun part of it. Brett finds humor. But that's what...
That's kind of me drunk, though. I just laugh at everything. I just have
You become a giggle.
Yeah.
I've seen it where it's the certain alcohol, like I know people that can't have hard alcohol. They're only beer and wine. If they go hard alcohol, then it comes out.
It brings out their inner litter bug. But it is who you are anyway. It's what's inside you that the alcohol takes free. You don't become something. It's there. I will litter, and I mean a lot, when I'm drunk. I'll just throw stuff onto the ground. But I find it hysterical because it makes other people have to scramble. I think it's funny. You know who else has that? When we golfed with him? Kevin Nealon. Kevin Nealon and I talked about our inner litter bugs. He said it to me. We were in the golf cart, and it was like I met a brother. He goes, I'm dying. We're on this golf cart, and it's more pristine the better. I'm dying to just throw these cans out onto the course. And I'm like, let's do it. And he goes, no, we can't. I'm like, I know. Isn't it brutal to have an inner litter bug? But I'd rather have that than add in the word pedophile litter bug, because suddenly the litter bug thing doesn't seem so bad.
When I'm drunk, I just like to mutilate things.
Right. It's not the alcohol. It's you. You were born with whatever's going on there. The alcohol just made
it
so.
You hate Woodsy. Growing up.
There's got to be something where I was touched by an owl, or I don't know. But I like I like the casual act of whoop, just like just throwing something out of the car when I laugh.
Has this always been?
Oh, since I was a little kid. Cigarettes are the only thing I drew the line at. I didn't want to start forest fires. I don't know why. And don't get me, I don't do it. I'm really good about it, except for the times around Brady's car. I find that funny.
Just think of this.
Iron Eyes Cody, yeah. Maybe it was that guy. I found those commercials with that crying Indian in front of the dump hilarious. Maybe that was it. Maybe it's some sort of make an Indian or an Italian dressed as an Indian sad day. And I thought, that's silly. And that was back when, I don't know what they were trying to do back in the 70s with Iron Eyes Cody. And the only Indian any white kids knew about was Tonto.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It was just popular for people just to dump their trash.
Yeah.
Because the roads would fall off and you'd see just
maybe that's
a
it.
Lot of
maybe
the
growing up in Indiana.
Piles over there. It's random place on the road.
People chuck things out the window all the time when I grew up. That was not littering was not it was constant.
Yeah.
It was an always like a hamburger wrapper. Plunk, out the window. Earth will take care of this. Maybe just being around my uncles and stuff. Maybe I don't know. Yeah, I have one of those messy cars with water bottles and stuff in it all the time. So then sometimes when I need a cup holder and there's stuff in there and I've got a drink, I'll take one of the drinks out and I'll put it under Brady's tire. And I laugh, I giggle. And especially the next day when I come back and there's a smashed can. You didn't see it. Makes me just chuckle beyond belief. And then for some...
You'd think I'd learn. Yeah, you know, park one over, but it doesn't matter. I've gone through 8 sets of tires.
Then you're not buying very good tires of a Coke can smushing your tires. Yeah, you got
to remember his tire story.
$12. Yeah. $12 per tire.
I fool them for $35.
I'm like, oh my God.
Full price.
No, you're lying to us. You're a liar. You're just, alcohol would make Brady's lies just obscene.
Oh, man.
His delusions would go away.
That's why I don't get drunk.
Spill the truth. We don't want to know. We don't want to know what you've done for some of the things you say you got for $20.
4 set of BF Goodrich, 25 apiece, full price.
Like, you are, nope. They're not giving us that whole story. Anyway. But throw the word pedophile in front of litter bug and suddenly no one cares about the litter bug part. You can't have it. But pedophile burglar? Yeah. Knock that dude out. Immediately. They finalized Caitlin Clark's contract. I'm very proud to say that they put the ink to the paper, and Caitlin Clark is the latest three-quarters of a 100,000-aire with her $76,535. And Brady hands me this that, oh, I'm watching all these articles pop up. How come Wembanyama got $55 million on his rookie deal? Oh, because the NBA is wildly successful. Go f*** yourself. That's why. How come the hockey guy? Because it's wildly successful. How come all these others are wildly successful? The argument will never change. It's always because the league she's in isn't successful. Hate to break it to you. The ratings for the NCAA. They're like KDKB. They have one good moment in ratings, and you never hear the end of
mouth.
It. They've had better ratings than the men's tournament. Once. Ever. One time ever. Make it sustained. Do that over and over, and guess what's going to start happening? Money's going to start pouring into your stupid league. But until that happens, they still blame men for the fact that women's soccer never took off after the 1999 or 2000, whenever it was, World Cup, when the ladies went nuts, beat China. And they're like, oh, everybody loves women's soccer. Who knew? And they started a league, and it folded in 8 months because nobody went to the games. What happened? You're all misogynists. I'm like, no, we're not. It's just... We just like when you beat China. We don't care if it's children or women or old people. You beat China on a national stage. That's pretty good stuff.
And the the draft for this year, the WNBA draft.
Yeah.
2.4 million was the viewing. It's the largest ever.
For the WNBA.
I mean, after the WNBA.
Right.
And then Caitlin Clark was picked, and then it dropped down to 200,000.
Yeah, nobody watched. Yeah. I just wanted to see what she was going to do.
But.
They broke
They're
out.
Trying to say maybe the numbers are there. Maybe they are.
Hey, curiosity is going to get some people. Yeah. I'll probably watch an Indiana Fever game, but I'm not watching her play the Connecticut Sun 10 times this year.
I want to see the goat play the rookie.
I don't, because I can't look at Diana Taurasi's face for that long. I'll listen to it on the radio.
You could tell me it's happening tonight. There's a good chance I'll forget later on in the
right,
day.
That's true. Diana Taurasi is you think my face is not ready for TV. I don't want to watch her even playing basketball. I think that's enough.
You mean you're not going to get the WNBA package
this
year?
No. But I'll listen to it on the radio just to hear Caitlin. I'm curious. Here's some fun facts, though, to to just show you how capitalism works. She's going to make $338,000 over the next 4 years if she sticks it out with the WNBA. And they're saying it's an indignity that they pay her so little. It's like the league doesn't make any money. It's like Subway paying their best sandwich artist $2.5 million a year. It's going to break Subway. It says Harry the Hawk of the Atlantic, the Atlanta Hawks, the mascot. He makes $600,000 a year. But that doesn't just, that's not just misogyny. You're pissing off, you know, garbage truck drivers and cops and roofers and everybody who doesn't make $600,000 a year who puts their ass on the line. But they realize their company can't pay them $600,000 a year. They wouldn't have a company to go to.
And Harry the Hawk isn't only at the games.
If it's
got a little outside stuff, a lot of appearances outside.
It's a lot for a mascot, but hey, bring
that's
in
good
the
money.
Dough.
That's good money.
Fang from the Rattlers probably makes that in a year. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You think that? Yeah, Fang's, oh, yeah. Fang's pulling in Caitlin.
He's got that nice Harley and stuff.
Yeah, the three
that's
highest.
His. He has to bring that.
Yeah, the highest paid player in the WNBA is $225,000 a year. The Denver Nuggets, Rocky the Mountain Lion, is $625,000. The Gorilla is around $400,000.
What about and Dinger?
Benny the Bull's about four. He makes $190,000.
Dinger does.
I looked that up a long time ago. You didn't make it.
Could have gone on.
You didn't make that kind of money as a mascot.
No. Because I wasn't really, you know, we were basically the fill-in for the first 3 years until it was Jay Bell's son that came up with the idea of the Bobcat.
But you were the answer until they're like, this isn't something we want to do anymore. Like, this regular fam thing is not. And we can't really, like, the kids aren't running up to middle-aged men for hugs and pictures.
They test-marketed the Drew Haybata doll, right. And it just wasn't there.
That's what my point is. As good as you may have been at being everyday fan mascot, children running up to a guy for hugs isn't as kosher as a guy in a suit, a fuzzy suit.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't sell that plush.
No, it's harder to look at pictures. That's why there's no, people always say that. I don't know that Brady was ever actually the mascot of the Diamondbacks. There's no photographic evidence, nothing on the internet. And there's truth to that because no one, don't take your pictures. It's just a guy.
That's why I kind of straightened out, I was the, not the mascot, I was the village idiot of the Diamondbacks.
True. And to the kids, just the guy that people like, don't know, just avoid them. Take a picture from the distance, like pointing at them. But
you're the face for 3 years.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. So, yeah, mascots make money. There's nothing wrong with that.
She should have took the Barstool Sports gig.
Completely.
I mean,
for the money? Absolutely. But, again, the social pressures on Caitlin Clark to go make the WNBA something. That's a lot of weight. They're trying to compare her and Angel Reese to Magic and Bird. And like, they turned the league around. It was, look, I don't see it. There was a lot of talent in basketball at the time. You still had Julius Erving. You still had Moses Malone. You had all these guys that were sitting there in the ABA, and then they combined them. There was a big influx of super talent in the NBA. Magic and Bird brought attention to that. That doesn't exist in the WNBA.
I'll tell you, the Bobcat was not making that kind of money when they hired him, and that's why he got caught with weed and everything.
Right. He's driving around.
I'm making this and Dinger's making that.
You think extreme mascot poverty led him to a life of weed?
Yes.
Yeah.
It happens.
That's why. I think, personally, he was probably smoking before he got into the suit.
Yeah, no, he was. And he was happy that he's getting his 32, 33 a year.
I wonder what he's pulling in. I bet he makes a lot more now.
The new one.
I wonder what Big Red makes, the Cardinals guy. The Gorilla's crushing it. Gorilla kind of, you know, he, the San Diego Chicken, the Pittsburgh Parrot.
I wonder what
Philly
Howler
fanatic.
Howler. Oh, never mind.
Oh, Howler's
Thank
all
you.
Done. Howler's all gone. Now, watch this. Watch,
fun guy.
Watch
too.
How everything changes. Pedophile mascot. Well, you don't want to, that's just one thing. You can't put that name in front of anything. It's all bad.
We've got that.
Yeah.
Mr. Orange.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Orange, yeah. But again, that goes back to my argument that if you're trying to be a mascot for free,
yeah, he wasn't
I assume
on the
you're
he
a pedophile. I automatically assume you're up to no good. You're a groper. You're a pedophile. Something's wrong with you if you dress up
so
for
say
every
it's a,
game.
A freelance pedophile?
Yeah, yeah, just, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not tied down to any employer. You're just, you know, as the wind blows, pedophile. Yeah, if you're trying to be an unpaid mascot, you're into the kids. And I was proven right once again by Mr. Orange. Ronnie Woo Woo's been getting away with it in Chicago for ages. They'll get him. They'll get him. One woman feels him cupping a boob at sexual assault charge heading his way. We need a wake-up song. Let's get to it. 585-9800. A good one. We'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station. KUPD.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
You thought that was funny. Holmberg's morning sickness. You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-P-D.
Thank you, Mike and the Molotovs. An hour away from the Doug Hopkins price guarantee game. We'll do another one today. And today, I'm going to test your knowledge of Bot. We gave you a little taste Monday. You get to go check out Ingo's and then check out yesterday's Viet Shack receipts. Today, Bot. We're going. Bot is the money we're using today for this. By the way, I'm not alone with this. Litter Tourette's. Got an email. It says, one time, John, I have litter Tourette's. I chucked this big blob of trash right out on the side of the road, and it started my litter Tourette's. I've never looked back. Signed, Toledo's dad. Well, I don't. That doesn't count when you're just letting that out. Yeah. This one says, is litter Tourette's when you forget you've dumped something and just leave it? Signed, Brett.
No, it's, I don't know about my Tourette's. My
litter, what? What's litter mean? Anyway. This one says, if there's a pedo burglar in our house, not only are we using violence, but it's going to be a family beatdown. And if the wife doesn't get a few elbows in there, she's out too.
That's damn true. Right. Yeah. I like that guy.
If I see you standing by while I'm whipping pedo burglar. Get him, honey. No, I want to see some sharp elbows coming from your side, too. Everybody's in on the pedo. Yeah, I don't understand the people that get on that thing, that next door, and start to combat, you know. There was a thing, Dave Portnoy, who was just in town. He gives, Megan was telling me about this. He gives money to cops and stuff when there's a shooting, like a police shooting. He's very active with the police. And he gives money to the charities, like it would be the Phoenix 100 Club here in town. But there was an incident where police officers were shot in the line of duty, and he gave money. And the first comment, what about all the people the cops shoot? Do you ever give them money? No. I mean, no. Most of the time, the word is most of the time, a cop shoots somebody because they deserve it. Most of the time.
And maybe because before they even got shot, like he gave money out to a lot of restaurants during pandemic. So someone that had a business that he'd given money to.
He drives me nuts for some reason. I think it's just the Boston thing. But yeah, he does some nice stuff. And I love him for what he's doing with the dogs. I watched an episode of Body Cam yesterday, or at least a little segment of it, where it was a cop here in Scottsdale who, you know, it's amazing how often cops don't shoot you. He pulls this truck over on Scottsdale Road. It was June of 2021. I remember it because I was in Los Angeles for the Suns and Clippers series. I was like, I remember that because Kevin Ray and I were hanging out. That was fun. That was the day we met the albino black guy and the world champion wrestler belt guy. It was a weird night.
At the bar, hotel bar, lobby?
Yeah, it was the weirdest night ever. And the pimp. I also had a conversation with the pimp and his ladies. Yeah, that pimp wanted to kill me. Anyway, and you could see it in his eyes. I was told by somebody, you need to stop talking to him. And he looked at me and he goes, you got any money? I'm like, what? If you ain't got no money, we're done here. And I'm like, oh my God, he may be a pimp. And everyone else but me knew. I was just having a chat with some people sitting at the table next to us. Anywho, that'll teach you to be more like Brady. What was I going on about? I forgot. Now. Oh, yeah. The cop he pulls over this white truck, and he's on a motorcycle. And when he pulls over, he's there. He starts to, and the truck just slams on, goes in reverse and slams on the gas and just
runs over him. The dude is off the bike. You can see his gun on his chest cam. And he pulls, I just started shooting immediately. He waits, didn't shoot the guy. I'm like, wow, his bike's out. They end up catching him. Nobody gets shot. This guy needed to get shot like 8 times. So I'm all about, you know, helping out. When cops get shot in the line of duty, most of the time, cops shoot somebody for good reason. Again, most of the time. But we can't even have a moment where a cop gets shot where somebody's like, where the hell the people cops shoot? You know, I get to the point in my life where I'm like, if you don't like cops, don't use them. Cops are like Fritos. If you don't want them, don't buy them. If you're going to bitch about them all the time, don't have them in your house. That's basically it. If you're going to cry and whine about the police, now there are incidents that you can cry and whine about. But it doesn't, you know, make it so the whole thing's bad. Just don't call them. Get them off your speed dial. Handle it yourself. See how well that goes. Handle it yourself. Pedal burglar pops into your house. Cops are bad. They shoot everybody. They're just... Okay, well, then you handle pedal burglar and, you know, let him wander off out of your yard and don't call the police. It's stupid. And when Dave Portnoy hands out money to the police, be nice. That's a nice thing to do. What do you give your money to?
Well, every money. Government's ruined everything. Society is...
Oh, you're a dick is what you are. Shut up. Who gave you a computer keyboard? Something yesterday we read about was the twins. The email from the boyfriend who wandered in on his girlfriend's twin teenagers engaged in sex. Punched the boy in the head. The girl was totally into it. She was there. It wasn't a rape or anything. And he sends us the email saying, this is what I've done. 8 months have passed. The whole group's gone through therapy. The kid's moving back in. They're going to integrate the family again. And just wanted to let us know. God knows why. So we read this story yesterday. Everybody has their comments. Everybody's, you know, the best part of waking up is, you know, the Folgers thing, the commercial. All of it.
Line after line.
I got several emails. I didn't know we had this many gay listeners. We're basically KDKB Jr. Whoa. A lot of gay guys emailing me. Led by our king of the gays, Nathan, who started it. And then it was corroborated by several other gay emails that in the world of gay porn, twins having sex is a pretty big deal. They like it.
It's like stuck in the dryer stuff?
Okay, think about that. Stuck in the dryer is not relatives. You and your brother,
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
it's brothers.
It to brothers. The demand.
Brothers having sex is on the gay porn. Twins. Identical twins. And I even emailed back. Like, you're talking about, like, guys, they dress one up to look like the other. He goes, oh, no, no, no. We're talking about twins. So as disgusted as I've always been about the whole Coors Light twins thing, because I never understood why that was sexy to anyone. Those are sisters. Evidently, and you can do the research at home if you'd want. I'm going to leave this one out in the ether. That's a big deal for the gays. They like twin sex.
I want off this planet.
I didn't vote for him in 2000, but I wasn't against him. I'm not a big fan of the Inconvenient Truth. I thought it was a moneymaker. But Al Gore ruined everything when he invented this internet and gave everybody their fetish in the palm of their hands. I know, Brett, for all the good it's done for us normal folk, it sure has launched the lunatics into a new stratosphere of society that they used to hide. That was the good thing about lunatics. The good ones used to kind of keep it quiet. They'd hide. Now they can talk to other people and feel normal. Like there's like 500 or 600 guys who do the same weird thing, and they all communicate, and then they get together and act like they're a group of normals. They're not. The loopies used to kind of keep it to themselves.
Do we have to talk to the key masters? Are there still 7 key masters of the internet?
I wish. I don't know, the Matrix thing?
Yeah.
You know what I think we need is, you know, you remember the beaded curtain at Video Paradise?
Oh, yeah.
You felt terrible going in there. The boxes of porn coming out of Video Paradise's back room were the size of, like, Hyundais. They were big. Like, they weren't the normal movie rentals. So if you were standing in line at Video Paradise, it was a big store.
Oh, yeah, it huge.
Tons of movies. And all the other DVDs and, well, actually VHS at the time, were in normal-sized boxes. You went in and even dabbled with the porn. It came out
the size of, like, a
A refrigerator box.
A Coke case.
It was huge. Bigger than that. It was thicker.
24 can case.
For some reason, it was the size of
like a phone book.
Like a phone book.
I mean, it was
exactly
too,
right.
Yeah.
It was
pun intended.
Like a phone book. It was huge. And you would have to stand in normal line with your phone book movie. There was great shame in that. Like, I'm going to go home and jerk off. And all of you now know it. Now, we all knew I was probably going to do that anyway. But now I'm making a statement with this.
So you had your
Manhattan phone book.
Phone book, gummy bears, and
yeah, some tissues, milk duds. Some tissues, some juji fruits. I just like to, I like the noise. I like the noise juji fruits makes in my mouth when I'm doing it. It reminds me that there's a possibility someone could be in the room with me.
And the clerk's, oh, you're changing it up today, going Mike and Ike's. Okay.
And that's the worst part is that when you put the book down on the counter, and then the guy behind the counter goes, hey, John. Ah, yeah, how are you there, Mike? Hey, you're going for the sequel. I like the first one, huh? I heard the sequel's not as good.
That Edward Penis Hands, that's pretty good.
But the point being, there used to be some sort of gatekeeper from the normal society to that room with the beaded curtain. And just a regular old, you know, what was that, an Alma School in Elliott? Just a regular, or Warner?
Warner.
Yeah,
Warner,
yeah. Just a normal video room, and then you'd walk by that. What's back there? The lighting was different. They made you feel...
They're already putting guilt on you.
Yes, you were up to something different.
And those beads were loud when you walked through them.
Oh.
Welcome, customer number 3.
Damn it. They made you feel like you weren't doing kosher social stuff. The internet changed all that. The internet made it so it's like no one needs to know. And now we're all doing it. But then... It went from, okay, I see that we've all done the porn thing. Let's stop making it taboo. But there's still that beaded curtain. There's still that thing that you're like taking it one step further than the rest of us. A normal society will do the Pornhub.
Yeah.
The abnormal folk go in and find twins
and BS on each other
like there's no tomorrow and then go, that's normal because I talked to 40 other guys on Reddit who do the same thing. No! You should feel alone in the world when you do that. You should question yourself while you're wiping your stomach off or gator rolling onto your sheets. You should think to yourself, am I the only one doing this? It has to be others, but you can't find them. It should be harder to find weirdos on the internet doing weirdo stuff. Beaded curtain. The beaded curtain is missing from the internet. We need one desperately.
What would happen to society if... It was just closed down for a month.
The internet?
Yep.
Oh, I'd kill you. Like, first and foremost. I'd blame you. You had something to do with this. Why did you? I just know you've always wanted this stuff. Yeah, people would, it would be full. It would like losing water. People would lose their
minds. I
wonder
how bad.
People would lose them. Well, first off, business would stop. We'd all be out of money in like 8 minutes. It would be over. Shut down porn or make everything on the internet PG. Like they figured out a way to shut it all down.
How dare you watch your mouth.
Right. I agree. You'd have an uprising. But if you shut down.
I'm saying if you take a like a certain element, like if you're saying you take away the
pornography. All right,
no social, no.
Oh, no talking.
Pornography. You could use it for like if you had a cell phone or your computer records would still be there. Bank, businesses conduct all that.
Only used for business, not for communication. But there's the beaded curtain that you can't sit and chat with another dude who likes identical twins having gay sex. You feel normal because of the comments section. If there's more than like 30 people in there, you're like, oh, this is I'm not the only one. So you're in a group now, and groups make people feel like they're not outcasts. And there's conventions for furries, for Christ's sake. That used to be something people did kind of quietly. Now they're taking up convention centers and hotels in different cities in America all over the place just hanging out together. We don't wonder. We got to meet. And then poor like Marriott has to welcome them. I'd like to welcome the furry convention today. Reminder, boys, the police are nearby at all times, so let's keep it on the grounds. The beaded curtain. Brett knows it. I don't know if you've ever done the beaded curtain.
Oh, yeah.
You never went back there, did you?
No.
No? See,
it was like. But I've been in. I went to an adult store.
Sure,
that had the videos and stuff, and it still has that.
Those were creepy.
But an adult store is different because it's like everybody in there is in there for that reason,
right?
You know, over here you got this one renting Shrek, and you're going through the beaded curtains and stuff.
That's why Video Paradise was such a.
Yeah,
it was a social spotlight to say here's the normal spot, and if you're interested,
freaks over here,
you can go in there where we only have one light bulb. In a dimly lit room that I think used to be a refrigerator, like one of those fridge box things for beer kegs.
And it was like Mission Impossible. Oh. You're like scaling the halls and looking both ways before you walk through that beaded curtain.
Make sure anyone else in there?
Yeah.
Is there an employee in there? Yeah. And there was a guy behind the counter. Make sure he didn't try to steal the phone book size thing. And then you try to act like you were in there for the laughs. This guy's, look what he's doing. He's got it in his own mouth. And then you'd look at one of them and go, I want that one.
Well, you didn't rewind the last one. That's $395.
$395. Also, that was the other. And that's how you know, like, when hotels used to do it, too. It's completely discreet. Movie rentals are discreet. And then you go to pay your bill, and it's like, okay, you had two movie rentals for $29.95. I'm like, yeah, those are the only ones that cost $30 were the porns. Yeah. And now it's on my
Anal Intruders 3. Oh, great. Thanks.
We don't put the titles on you. Your $30 movie rental. We know what you did, though. Which one did you pick? Best Friends and Twins. Oh, yes, that's the Danny DeVito one? No. The other twins. The $30 twins. Oh, that's right, because the Danny DeVito one was $1.99. You chose the $30 film. It's horrible. There needs to be the pointing a finger and going, that guy's not normal. It's not necessarily bad, but it's not normal. Video Paradise used to do that. Used to be a gatekeeper for normalcy when you drift off into the beaded room. Zorba's, the adult thing.
You were expecting that.
50-50, weirdos in there to jerk off and other people in there to giggle. That little tiny porn room at Video Paradise, you could try to giggle, but it was a dungeon. I kind of miss how funny it was. No one ever went in there with confidence.
No.
Swung that thing open, you hear everybody inside, Norm! It was just, you just didn't have, everybody slunk in.
It was like being at the urinal in a ball game. Yeah. You don't look at each other, you're just looking straight ahead. And
it was a room of people recognizing they're being perverts.
Yep.
And they're frowned upon by the rest of normal society out there renting some sort of a, you know, Diane Lane movie.
You think Richard Gere and Diane Lane is a good one tonight?
Into those beaded
pervert!
No, I didn't rent anything. I was just looking.
Worse!
The dude with Robocock 2 is,
I can't. Somebody grab the other end of this thing. It's so heavy.
Yeah, Robocock is a big movie.
Can I go next? My arms are giving out. They used to tag you with, all right, you want to be the weirdo. It's gonna show. And we need to do that again. But man, oh man, when those gays started to email me yesterday, don't frown on the twin thing so much. It's a big thing. Yeah, but okay. And the one guy was emailing me, and he's like, it's the only bad thing about that letter is the age. And I'm like, no, it isn't. I know they're young teens and stuff. That's not the bad thing. It's incest is bad.
You struck a chord here.
Uh-oh.
Tell Netanyahu knows to stop with the shutting the internet stuff down for a month. I don't want to go back to spanking from magazines.
Don't blame my Junos for that.
It's on him.
That was Mother Teresa over here. Jews ain't shutting down the internet. That's pure Catholic stuff. We talked about what alcohol does to you. The only kind of alcohol that makes kids attractive is usually, that grape juice they give you at church. That's tended to make everyone a pedophile. So they're the ones that want to shut it all down. It's too tempting for them. We're the ones cashing in. As usual. Don't you worry about that. But yeah, I just, the normalcy thing is weird. And then, I don't know if you saw the Brady and I talked a little bit about it before, the Katie Couric.
Brian Gumbel.
Katie Couric went on Bill Maher's podcast 30 years after she worked with Brian Gumbel.
So does she get high?
I don't know.
Don't they
question.
Smoke
you
a lot?
A lot. He does the whole time. I don't think you have to go on it, but she might have. I don't know. But she goes and starts talking about Brian Gumbel 30 years ago, making fun of her for having maternity leave, like 2 months after she got the job as the co-host of the Today Show. And Gumbel used to give her a little guff. And she goes, oh, he was a man's man. He was a guy's guy employee. But, like, she'd worked there for a month and then got knocked up and left and would go on vacations with her baby as part of maternity leave. She's like 6 months off, and the next thing you know, he's sitting there saying, where are you? And she goes, oh, we're in the Maldives. We took the baby to the Maldives. And he's like, oh, why don't you leave that baby in a field and get to work? And she, it was just such a, you know,
like
he
Brian
was.
Little more
I know. He was kidding, but, you know. It was just what such was a sexist, misogynistic environment he'd created. It was rooted in sexism. And I'm like, lady, if it didn't bother you 30 years ago enough to say anything, don't besmirch cancer-riddled Bryant Gumbel in his 80s.
I just wanted to make sure that she knew maternity leave was for pussies. And she was in my Casa de Bow Wow.
Okay. Bryant Gumbel used to hate maternity leave. Guess what? Most every man can't stand when a woman doesn't show up for work for 6 months because she can. We're jealous.
And I'm sure Gene Shalit handled it so much better.
Right. Katie Couric's not coming in today because she's a complete feminist. Back to you, Bryant.
Makes me miss that Norville lady.
Yeah, all guys hate maternity leave. We hate it. We're jealous. We tried something called paternity leave, but other dudes won't let you have it because it's the biggest pussy move you've ever had. No dad needs to be gone for 5 months. Uh-uh. You went through nothing. A woman has actually a medical reason not to show up to work for a few weeks. 6 months is pushing it.
The baby needs me.
Well, what is it, sister? You want to work or be a mom?
I want both.
No. Pick one.
I should be able to do everything.
Well, then get to work.
Well, not now.
All right. This doesn't make sense. Dudes are like, I'm going to take some paternity leave.
How long?
January to just before July 4th. Well, that's too. You're not. You're, just stop it. Your kid doesn't need you that badly. Besides, what? When you get divorced in a couple years, that kid's not even going to see you. You're going to see you once every 14 days.
Willard Scott's going, happy 100 days to the Kirk, baby.
The 100 days young today, and Katie's still not at work. That's 3 months and 10 days of no work.
What a
bitch. Back to you, Bryant.
I agree completely, Willard. Great day. Let's see how the weather is in your neck of the woods.
He's not. Look.
He's not wrong.
We're jealous about. Always right. Has been, always will be. And you're also talking to Bryant Gumbel, who was working back in the 80s when women just started getting to work and screaming about wanting to be at work. And then the first opportunity they had to get 6 months off, they changed all the rules. We don't necessarily disagree with it. We're jealous of it. We don't have that option.
You do, too. You have paternity leave.
A decent man won't do that simply to not catch the eyeballs of the other dudes. Brady had a baby. He's back like 2 days later. Good on you. You still spent plenty of time
Thursday
with the kid.
Night, and Friday off, and I was back Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing. You're back Monday. I think everything went just fine.
You know, worked out all right, but yeah.
But you had a right.
Yeah. Now, if there was, like you said, if there's a medical condition or something that was going on.
That's different.
Yep.
That's an emergency. Childbirth is not an emergency. It's happening all the time. This guy says, where I work gives us 6 weeks off for the fathers. Screw you, John. I know you'd take it. I don't think I could. I don't think I could take that. I like days off. I love days off. I don't think I could do that one. That feels like I'm scamming the system. I'm not going through anything that needs to be 6 weeks solid. I need to just take a month and a half away from the old job to make sure this baby that sleeps 18 hours a day is taken care of.
I can understand both sides. Person like, I get 6 weeks.
Right.
I'm going to do it. It's
but
not
why?
Because
you're scamming. You're saying that going, if I get it, I'm taking
well,
it. I don't need it.
If everyone's doing it, then...
Right.
Hey, that's what canceled the MILF contest around here, too.
Exactly.
Scamming the
right.
system.
Scamming that system is the reason why we can't have nice things. Yeah, you pump out a baby. I'd feel like a little bit of... Like, I want to take my 6 weeks off because I've earned them. Watching some lady blow up like a joke cigar and having some baby in the house now doesn't... you don't need me around the whole day. I'm going to get back to work. Besides that, I'd never take 6 solid weeks off. I won't even take 2 off unless it's the Christmas holiday because you can't beat Beth anyway. We start taking 2-3 weeks at a time off, the show starts to suffer. Your job starts declining. You've heard the show without us here, for God's sakes.
Imagine that. Larry and Shanman filling in for six solid weeks. The station goes under. You've heard the other morning shows. What the hell? Get the Izzo and the Frank and the Coulier show. We can't have that.
Frank and the Coulier show.
Can't have it. Anyway. And then the other great story of the week. Like, I love the story. You probably have it in the Brady Report, but I'm jumping it. The Ohio guy who shot the Uber driver. It's like an episode of Black Mirror. He felt like he was being scammed by people that were saying he owed them money. The Uber driver was being told by the same group of people, you got to go to that guy and get the money or we're going to hurt you. And it was just all this big ruse. The Uber driver's confused at the door going, if I don't get money from you, like, there's bad things are going to happen to me. And he's like, no, I'm not supposed, I don't have money for you. And like they pit these two people together. The guy shot the Uber driver. And both of them were wildly confused about what was going on. If you ever watch Black Mirror, that's the thing. Like, the computer talks one guy into thinking, you got to do this, the other guy into thinking, and they pit them together. It's terrible. But the guy got charged for murder because he thought it was an elaborate scam, and he was right. He's 81 years old. His name's Bill Brock. He shot a 61-year-old Uber driver named Lolitha Hall. He said he was defending himself. She was working with someone who demanded ransom from him. Lolitha, come on, man. Can we have a minute?
What? I didn't say anything.
Lolitha is sort of a funny name. Because it sounds like Lolita with a speech impediment. But stop it. I can't be around you. Shut up.
Sorry, go ahead.
Turn your head. Look out the window. Stand in the corner until you figure out how to be an adult. It's just Lolitha. It's not even that. Come on, there's weirder.
Tragic.
It's a tragedy. Lolitha's been shot.
That's what I'm going with, too.
Anyway, as we try to get through, he's the worst newsman in the world. Lolitha? Really? All right. I can't hang out with him. Anyway, they said that the old man that shot the lady, Lolitha, they had to cough up thousands of dollars because he had a relative in jail and then turned into a straight-up ransom hostage call. He was super confused. The poor woman Uber driver was contacted by scammers, the same ones or an accomplice, they say. They're pulling a fast one on her as well to go to this old man's house and get the money. So she was under the impression that he had the money. He was under the impression that if he didn't, so he was all nervous. She shows up at his house. She's like, I don't know what's going on. And then they had and it's all on video. It's like,
so he had his phone recording?
She had a dash cam.
Oh, dash cam.
You can see the guy leading around the other, and he's screaming. Lolitha is screaming for help. The cops say she tried getting in her car and fleeing, but Brock shot her and killed her. You can hear it in the thing. They arrested the old man because they're like, but now they're kind of like, all the information he's giving
was enough of a threat,
maybe? He feels like he's
maybe
defending himself, although if somebody's trying to get back in their car, you can't shoot him.
Yeah.
Still, he's a confused old man on the internet. And then she's a confused Uber driver thinking that, I don't know how I got wrapped up in this mess, but all I have to do is just get a drop. This is going to make for a great episode of Black Mirror, but how about that? Again, back to the internet. Don't make friends with people on the internet. Don't pal around with people on the internet. It's just assume everything's a scam. And I don't want to hear from you morons who, we met on the internet and it was awesome. Stop it. You're the outlier. Most of the time, you're going to end up with some daylight shining through a part of your body that didn't have a hole in it yesterday.
I understand Farmers Only works.
Yeah, no. Every now and then. No, it doesn't. And most of the time, they're getting murdered. The one or two that succeed, they're the ones that Farmers Only says, we've had, it's 99% failure rate on Farmers Only, on BuzzBull. And
what about J-Date?
J-Date is not, if you're Jew and you can't find.
You are killing it on J-Date.
If you can't find a pal over at the synagogue, you know where all the Jews are every Saturday. It's not hard to find the Jews. Go to Granada Park. Watch them play softball all over Saturday. The place is crawling with them. The authentic old schoolers, too, and the curly hair and hats. Mason. Yeah, the Jackie Masons.
I don't understand what's going on around here. How come you can't find a date? We want a nice Jewish girl. They're everywhere at the Jewish places.
Yeah, you just go to the bagel store, the synagogue. They're easy to find. You know, like blackdate.com. That's, how hard is that?
Do like the white girls do and just go spend extra money on the front two rows of the Suns game. You'll get one.
Ridiculous. Don't meet people on the internet. You're going to get killed. And don't make new friends either. Like, if you can't make friends just the old-fashioned way at work or just out being social, then stop trying to make internet buddies.
If your new friend needs money.
Right. If someone, exactly. If your old friend needs money, be skeptical of what's
red
going
flag.
On. Yes. If Brett all of a sudden came to you and goes, dude, I need a lot of money. I'm like, why? Would you? What have you done so poorly in life that this has happened? Is there an emergency? No emergency. I just got myself into some jams. Look, I need to go to this guy's house. You need to come with me, and I got to drop off some cash. No, I'm not friends with Brett anymore. Her name's Lolisa. She owes me. Stop it. Yeah, exactly. Brady's exactly right. If your new friend, if your new digital pal needs a couple bucks, delete. Stop talking to them. You end up in the porch with your dash cam catching your last few minutes. I don't understand it. I made new friends on the internet. Half you guys emailing me and stuff, that's fine. Nice little buffer. Any of you start asking me for cash, I'm going to block you. I don't block anybody. I'll take all the emails that come flying in. I don't care what you say. Start asking me for cash. There's a blocking involved. Can't threaten my life. Can't ask for money. That's the Juno. Talking. J-date. Pathetic.
I just can't find any Jews.
Like, I can't avoid them. Like, if I go to... From my house.
Your calling cards.
Oh, my God.
There.
The gravitational pull of his nose brings them to me. You too, huh? Like, no. You drive by Granada Park on a Saturday and tell me you can't J-date in that. Get involved. Put the hat on. Bring a ball glove. Their softball games are remarkable. Hey, I'm third baseman. I'd like to play third base. Hey, we've got a new Jew third base. Okay. And now you've got a gaggle of new ones. Yeah, their routine's not as good. Hyams on first, doesn't. There's no flow. There's no flow. Oh, Gavalt, second base. Yeah, Jade, if you can't find anybody, it's a lack of, it's laziness. I think it's just
the way the world works now. It's all on the internet.
Yep, and I watch a lot of crime shows. We're all getting killed left and right. Either getting catfished, robbed, or shot. None of it's good.
I met my wife on the internet.
And then that beast comes out with her lazy eye and like hair hanging out of one nostril. Like, yeah, good kill.
I couldn't meet anybody.
Oh, you weren't trying. You just decided to go to the Walmart of people and start pulling off the shelf of mass production instead of trying.
We met on Bumble.
Oh, yeah? How many bullet holes does she have in her? None. Yeah, then you're going to have a couple in you. She's winning. How did her last relationship end?
He's in jail.
Yep. Yep.
Shocking.
Yep. Exactly. Anyway, what do you got, Brett, on the big board of music?
I was too busy laughing. I didn't put
it. I know. You haven't done it?
But right. I haven't put up the list yet, but I can. We'll just go through it. Wake Up Song brought to you by our buddies at Action Ride Shop. And it is now time to get those mountain bikes ready to go and hit the trails. Action Ride Shop is your place. Whether you need a new one, you need to get that old bike repaired, they got the best wrenches in town. It is actionrideshop.com, or just go visit them over at Gilbert Road in Southern. They'll take care of you. And on our list, Chevelle, self-destructor. SOD, kill yourself for the pedophile burger.
Yes.
Sorry, Brady.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Brady.
I would eat it.
It's veal.
I want to try it.
Pedophile burger.
Judas Priest, turbo lover.
Tiny. It's made of veal. It's really little.
Nice to know you from Incubus for the Coyotes.
Bye, Coyotes. Yeah, they're saying goodbye. Is it tonight, the last game?
Yeah, I believe so.
$550 for the cheapest ticket, so you can go cheer on the away team. I don't want to hear another word from the media at all.
that this is sad. You haven't paid attention to them. I'm guilty of it, too. That's why I'm being honest with myself. They're leaving because we didn't care, period. Zero. And also, their ownership was awful from start to finish.
Lionel Richie, sail on.
Yeah. Good riddance, goodbye. It's the best thing for both of us.
Ride like the wind from Christopher Cross.
You guys are going to be fine somewhere else. We'll figure it out. But this is not like, oh, they had some psychiatrist on TV last night talking about people who are suffering great loss in the Coyotes. Like, nope, no one. No, if anything, there's maybe five people. Some folks lost their jobs. That's the worst thing that happened. Some Coyotes.
Let the Von Trapp sing them away.
Yeah.
So long, farewell, Alvita saying goodbye.
And then let them march up the big snowy hills of Utah, because goodbye. Yeah, this is not sad. Let's not act like we lost something we were trying so hard to hang on to. I've been to the Mullet Center. I've told you the truth about that. It's both embarrassing and amazing to have had hockey there. I tried to tell you for the longest time, hurry up. This isn't going to be here much longer. If you didn't get a chance to watch professional hockey in that barn over there, you missed out. Also, it should have never happened. Get them out of here. But I went to the Calgary Flames game the last time I was there, and there were no Coyote fans at all. It was all the red, white, and yellow sea. It was just Calgary fans. So everybody acting like they're going to miss the Coyotes. Nope. You're going to miss your team coming to town. Zero support. They should leave. The owners did a terrible job. Every single one of them. And now it's time to just etch-a-sketch the whole thing and start over.
There's a lot of people, I mean, that, you know, ever since the move out of the downtown.
Oh, downtown was the only time it was doing all right.
The connection there. You tell me, you know, I'm in that category as far as I didn't get over to the Mullet Center. Would I have enjoyed it? Probably amazing, but oh, well.
Are you going to keep going? No, and there's a bigger reason why. The franchise was garbage. So they wouldn't have been in the Mullet Center if they were worth a crap.
Yeah.
As a franchise. But the fact that they were garbage put them in the Mullet Center, which made it the most incredible experience in a pro sports I've been to as far as just regular season sport. It was awesome.
Oh, the big mistake, though, is moving them way out to the west side because people on the east side couldn't go out there on a Wednesday night game.
Terrible idea. Take too far. Terrible idea. Yeah,
the
worst arena they were in was their most success. You couldn't even see half of the ice downtown, but they were doing all right down there. Yeah, a mess. So if you need a psychiatrist because the Coyotes are moving, I can't believe there's somebody out there you involved yourself in something really, that's a scam in itself to be that down about this.
What else we got on here? Silent Lucidity for the Twins yesterday, as well as Benny Mardones on the list. Smashing Pumpkins.
Did I win Rock Wars last week?
No, I did.
Okay. I got a great topic. I'm not going to give it to
you. You may still go with it.
No, hanging on.
Hell Yeah, Start a Riot, Deftones, Atreyu becoming the Bull.
Is that for Caitlin Clark?
I think so.
Son of a bitch.
Snap your fingers, snap your neck.
I don't know. You pick one. Not I can't read yours. I can read yours.
For the pedophile burglar.
What's that?
Prong. Yeah. All right. Let's do that. Snap your finger. Snap your neck. Because that's what those parents should have did.
It's true. I just got an email. It's asking, am I wrong for thinking Caitlin Clark is sexy AF after seeing her in that short skirt at the draft?
Yep.
You are.
You sure are.
Yep. And then he quotes Rusty from Vegas Vacation.
Get your eyes checked.
She's got the legs of a thoroughbred. Her only flaw is that her face looks like Manu Ginobili. I suppose I can brown bag it. No, you like her legs. There's plenty of pretty ladies with nice legs. You are wrong to think she is sexy AF.
Give him Dr. Schwartz's number.
Yeah. By all means. TeamIDoc.com. In fact, the special's still going if you go to Schwartz. I forgot the website. Listen to commercial. I think it's schwartzlaser.com/Holmberg. Or just Holmberg is the thing. You get $1,000 off your LASIK, which you clearly need. Check out all the deals they have. Just go get a consultation. Those are free. And he's going to put an eye chart up. And he'll be like, DFM. All right, here's a picture of a woman. Sexy, not sexy. Sexy? Oh, my God. You're blind as a bat. That's Caitlin Clark.
Got a picture of Brittany Griner up there.
Sexy, not sexy. This way, or they have that thing where they flip, better like this, better like this. Sexier like this, sexier like this. And there's a picture of Selma Hayek and Brittany Griner. Sexier like this, sexier like two, B, two. Okay, that's Brittany Griner. We're going to pry your eyes out, put in new ones. We're going to get some cadaver eyes that don't see.
We can't do anything with this. I mean, it's
Diana Taurasi's face. Horrifying. Better like this. Better like that. Oh, it's less horrifying. Nope, you're prying your eyes out. We're going to amputate.
Yes, Rusty, or George, you are wrong for thinking that. Is she good at basketball? Yes, but let's draw the line right there. Let's do prong. Snap your finger, snap your neck for the...
Should have been.
Should have been what happened to that pedophile burglar. I had a cop email me and say the reason they call them burglars because that's just anybody who busts into your house. So that's automatically tied to...
Yeah, I was thinking that was a double whammy. So I'm going to steal stuff.
The charges, but yeah, I look at that. It's like, I don't care about the stealing at that point. You've trumped the theft.
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station.
U-P-D. You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
U-P-D.
Just a few minutes away for you getting the information you need to text a simple price. That's it. Doug Hopkins' $5,000 price game is coming your way just after 8 o'clock. And why would you do it? Why would you involve yourself? Well, it's a chance to get $5,000 put in your hand right there at U-Fest from our friend TV's Doug Hopkins. He's going to be up on stage with us. Five qualifiers throughout this week. One extra, a sixth, from people who listen on the app. You have to go on the app, 98KUPD app. You click on that. You enter this contest. Just say, hey, I'd like to play along. You accumulate listening hours, and at the end of it, they're like, here you go. You're our winner. So one of you listening on the app is going to walk out of there with a qualifying spot, too. Everybody gets U-Fest tickets, and then we stand on stage and draw a number, and it's Doug Hopkins handing you $5,000. How about that? That's going on all week, a little after 8 o'clock. We got that coming your way. And today, it's not even American money. Today, it's something called bot. I don't even know how to gauge that. Somehow or another, Toledo's travel agent makes them pay in foreign money to fly.
That seems weird.
I'm not questioning it. He's getting robbed.
He's not coming back.
No. He's got to run a couple favors for some guys. There's going to be some drugs and buttholes, I'm guessing.
He's going to be Brittany Griner.
Yeah.
He's going to be in jail over there.
And let me be the first to say, not supporting him. That'll prove, I hope he is, because then that'll prove I'm not a misogynist against Brittany Griner. I'm an American. And if Toledo goes down with drugs up his butt, we are no longer in support of him. You idiot. You knew what to do. Anybody goes down with drugs in their butt, I'm not a fan of yours anymore. You smuggle anything in your butt, we're pretty much not pals. Well, I mean, I'll take that back. There's one thing I'd like you to smuggle in your butt for a little while at least, but I'll take it back. It ain't going to stay there. You ain't walking away with it. Well, maybe. Anyway, it's time now for the Brady Report. It's brought to you by our friends at Hooters, and it's Wings Day because it's Wednesday. Wings Day, Wednesday at Hooters, and you can choose your own Wings Day adventure. You know it by now. 20 wings, get 10 free. That's right there in-house, or you can take that home. But the big boy is the get-all-you-can-eat. All-you-can-eat wings for $15.99. You sit down at your table, and you go until you can't go no more. Either way, you're going to win, and we'll see you tonight at Hooters. Brady, report it.
Good Wings Day morning to you, Phoenix. Hello, world.
Hi.
It's also National Banana Day.
All right.
Bananas are botanically berries because they grow from flower with a single ovary that contains seeds.
Huh.
All berries and fruits.
Ovary. Now I really don't even want to eat bananas anymore. No. Bringing up ovaries.
You had the word ovary
stuff
involved, and I'm not interested in that.
Recent poll on bananas, 29% of Americans say they like to eat the bananas when they're at least partially green.
Yeah.
6% prefer bananas to be mostly green.
Some of them eat them all rotten.
50% like them when they're all yellow.
I watched a guy, was at Bill Luke Jeep a while ago, in that horrible intersection of... it's like 23rd Avenue and Camelback. They've got a
Avenue right there.
Dude, yeah. But this makes the Avenue people realize we're too close. Like 23rd Avenue and Camelback is blech. And there's a convenience store in the corner. There's always something brewing. Always something going on there. And a dude was eating a banana, and it took me a second to realize I'm sitting at the stoplight. Well, that was the one where I just saw two people just run across the thing and smashing into each other. And then one dude runs into the side of a car because they were chasing each other to fight. That intersection is the worst. But he's crushing a banana, and I couldn't figure what it was. He's standing on the road because it was black. Like the peel was black, and I'm looking, and he's taking bites, and I'm like, what is that? And it was a banana. I can't even imagine. The bruises on a banana are the grossest thing that happens to food. They're so weird.
And that's when you want them for banana bread.
Okay, calm down.
I've always heard that.
You knew that.
Bananas are the most purchased item in the produce department. And among the most purchased items in the supermarket overall, they are behind bread, eggs, meat, milk, and coffee.
Huh.
Couple of basis fun facts. The Vatican once sent an investigator to determine if the rumor about Shirley Temple being a 30-year-old dwarfism posing as a child was true.
No, because she grew up.
Father Masante visited, made a little visit to Shirley, discovered that she was, in fact, a child.
Yeah. You want to watch some weird stuff. You think that what was going on at Nickelodeon was bad. Go back and watch some of that old Shirley Temple stuff. She was like a six-year-old playing a courtesan, and a seven-year-old businessman was in her dressing room, and she was undressing in front of him, and there's some stuff with Shirley Temple. Go on YouTube and go, Shirley Temple, the dark stuff. When you, the whole, trust me, it was what they were pumping out, not like that, yeah. It was what they were pumping out to the general public, but there was a deep-seated creepiness to that that nobody really, you know, dressing her up all sexy and... She had a bra on in this one scene, and she starts to take it off. And the little boy goes, yes, yes. I'm like, what is I watching here? This was fun family fare.
Every baseball that's used in Major League and minor leagues is rubbed with a special mud from New Jersey before it's shipped or used in a game.
Hmm.
I think we might have done this one. Italy, Germany, and England call syphilis the French disease. Russia calls it the Polish disease. Poland calls it the German disease. Denmark and Portugal call it the Spanish disease. And finally, Turkey calls it the Christian disease.
Yeah. Well, they narrowed it down. They didn't get specific to a country. That's why the great line in Gangs of New York, when Bill the Butcher said, you got that broad up there all Frenchified. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's syphilis to him. There's, you know what's crazy about that? There's French-fried women listening right now.
And men.
Probably.
Yeah.
If there's a woman, that's probably a man, both French-fried. And you know what's even better, thinking about that? Just the dominoes falling? A couple of you don't even know you got it yet. But that.
A couple of you don't know you're going to get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm, yeah, a couple of you don't have it yet, but it's.
Start researching Valtrex. Mm-hmm.
Pardon the pun, it's coming. That's herpes.
Oh, that's the wrong one?
Yeah, Frenchified syphilis. That's different.
Yeah. Can you get cured of that, or are you just so crazy?
Sure, antibiotics.
Isn't that how Napoleon died?
They didn't have it yet.
No, I guess that's true.
Wasn't treating it.
Yeah.
Capone died from
Capone.
It.
Capone had it. They didn't have good treatments for it. He could have gotten fixed up, but hurts to pee, get a shot, goes away. But syphilis. Never had it. Don't want it. I've seen people with it, though, and oh, my, the screaming from the bathroom.
You're like organic, never had it, never will.
Never had it, never will. Yeah, I'm the aisle at Safeway that has wood floors.
Yeah. Airline experts are saying that the reclining seats on airplanes is in the process of being phased out for good, for economy class, at least.
They're not even going to let you sit back three inches?
Multiple reasons. The main reason, the seats that don't recline are lighter, which keeps fuel costs down. They don't need the mechanical parts, less maintenance.
Well,
they'll squeeze another row of seats.
Well, I was going to say, the American passengers are making up for what you're saving on weight with the chairs.
Yeah, I don't think that's an even trade.
No, maybe in the 70s, if they just decided to go with lighter seats, they save fuel. But right now, you can lighten up the seats all you want. Bertha's still getting on that plane and screwing up the ratios.
A new poll found that most bosses think their employees are doing great when it comes to avoiding burnout at work. But when you turn around and ask the employees, get a different answer. 89% of the managers say they think their workers are thriving right now. But only 24% of those employees agree.
Right. Give them video games and bean bags and non-traditional offices and they're still complaining.
They're moving that stuff out now.
Because it didn't work. It made everybody kind of lazy and bitchy. Get them back.
And it takes up a lot of real estate.
Get them back in the gray cubes. Come to work. Do your job. If you're not happy, find another job.
The Wall Street Journal just did a big write-up on how farmers have started using Axe body spray to prevent male sheep from fighting. Someone realized the smell is so strong, it masks the ram's natural pheromones.
Oh.
It's a It's a trick that's apparently been filtering through the sheep herding community for several years. A specific scent called Axe Africa is supposed to work.
The Axe body spray?
Yeah.
No kidding.
It also is marketed under the name Axe Kilo. So if your sheep can't get along,
axe them.
Axe them. I maybe try it when you go out to the club, too.
I thought it'd be a bunch of bros that's a spray up, and they're all like, you know,
that's what I thought too.
Buffing out.
Yeah. Makes them douchebag rant.
They're saying that's maybe put it thought, on before you go out to the club. Yeah. You don't bow up against another bro.
No, I'll take my chances on that.
Yeah, you're not going to fight another a bro ram. What is that? Africa?
You mother... No. I think you smell like Africa. You mother... got to change the name.
Bruh. That dude over there smells like Africa.
Ugh.
I don't think the majority of people imagine a nice fruity citrus smell when they say smells like Africa. All the pictures I see, that's the scent of poverty. Oh, come on. Like you get a lot of good shots of Africa? Not here in the States, we don't. Call it propaganda, but, you know, Janie, my African friend, tells me not only do you get the, like you, when you go in to get water for cooking, you go down to the river. It's also the one you bathe in, the one you take a in, the one the hippos are in.
You just make sure you go upstream, John.
Yeah, make sure it's circulating.
There's another tribe upstream.
That's true.
You better start.
It needs to be running.
You better start at the spring, man.
There's a 35-year-old dude, Antonio Rosario. He was arrested after he flew into an unhinged rage at Dunkin' in New York City. It was a while back. A worker called 911 and explained that it started when Antonio demanded 6 pumpkin donuts, but they only had 5 to sell him. They told him there's nothing they can do about it. He wasn't having that.
Right.
The worker said, he's screaming in our face, telling us you're going to effing die if you don't make it.
Dunkin's good. It's their own fault.
At one point, Antonio stormed out, and he came back with a gun. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Cops showed up and arrested him. He did have a loaded semi-automatic gun on him. He's facing up to 7 years in prison, partially because he's a convicted felon.
Can't have a gun.
Nope. He was already served time twice before, once for attempted murder. He just pleaded guilty.
Always donut-related, or is this the
not
first
sure,
time he dabbled in the donut deaths?
Why does this keep happening to me?
Sorry, sir.
Last time I didn't get the donuts I wanted, people died.
How come Dunkin' runs? Sometimes you go in and like, we don't have any donuts.
It's all you do.
I've been to Dunkin' Donuts. I was in Toledo, Ohio at Dunkin' Donuts, walked in, and there wasn't a donut in any of the cases. I'm like, where are the donuts?
Stores make them.
Close the door then.
I don't care. You got to order better. There's that that box should never be empty. That's all you do. It's like going to Safeway and all the shelves are in. We don't have any groceries. What'd you do? I don't know. They're gone. Why didn't you lock up? Put up a sign.
In Germany, a big ruling has just gone down for Oktoberfest. No weed allowed at Oktoberfest in Germany.
Starting. Beer only.
Yep.
Well, that whole no weed anywhere rule has always been kind of like a, okay.
It's legal there.
Right.
You can have up to an ounce, but they said not during Oktoberfest.
Okay. Still, people who have weed have found ways around that law for all of weed's existence. So,
John, when I was in Somalia, I know, the whole country smells like piss.
Yeah.
There's a plant there that blooms and smells like cat piss, and it is everywhere. It soaks into your clothes, man. Not a good scent.
I asked Jenny once, I'm like, what would be the first thing I thought when I got to your village?
You would be overwhelmed by the smells.
I'm like, really?
Some are quite sweet, but some are terrible.
And I'm like, were you overwhelmed when you got to the United States? And he said he was. With joy and food and stuff like that. So Africa's horrible. It's a nation that the most commercials you see are trying to feed people or war. I don't ever see like, oh, this awesome thing happened in Africa today. I'm sure good things happen, but I don't see them. The only time I get any footage from Africa, a lion's either attacking a safari jeep or there's some warlords taking rice out of the sky.
Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's the smell of a freshly gutted zebra on the plains.
They gut the zebra?
A pride of lions is just going to town on it.
Could be.
John, the U.S. military is the prime importer of penicillin and the prime exporter of syphilis.
Yeah, it's good for them. Good job, boys. Hoorah. Excellent work.
Penicillin, he says, takes care of it right away.
Yeah, it knocks it. I had a friend of mine, Adam. I was at his apartment, 1994, and he went to the bathroom. Oh! What's going on, man?
Oh! It looks like coffee!
What looks like coffee?
My pee!
Next day, he was fine.
Oh.
He said it had hurt.
Coffee.
Yeah, he said it hurt a couple days earlier. And then that moan came out of the, it was hilarious.
How do you know it wasn't bladder infection? That sounds like bad.
We knew.
Pipe cleaner.
Adam had a game he used to play to see how if he could, what the biggest pair of underpants he could bring back to prove to us that he was with a big girl. He would win every week. Just putting these boat sails up going, this one I met over at Fat Tuesdays, ironically.
He took 16 noise, candles personally.
I think Grant Steinbrugge was on the couch and there was another guy. The apartment. He had to wake everybody. We were dying.
Got a couple of radio videos. First one's a girl working out. She's kind of jumping over a little pole that she has on one of those step boxes that you jump up on.
A plyo box.
Plyo box.
See what you
That's
got.
That's it.
All right, there you go. It's a gym. It's gym equipment. That was going to be tough for him. All right. Leaping up on a little. Up. Leaping over the stick. Oh, that's a bad exercise. She's got a stick just resting gently on the plyo box. If you hit it, you're going full on Lucille Ball on that.
Whap!
Slapstick comedy at the gym. She hits it and it smashes her right in the face. That's not what you're supposed to do with those.
Brady.
I have another celebrity death. I didn't know this.
Who is it?
Clarence Frogman Henry.
Frogman.
Died April 7th.
Oh, this, I've heard this guy before. Are you awake, Kirby? Good. Daddy's got jokes for you. Don't look at me with that.
You're
the one that played it. Yeah. Don't look at me with that smile like the world's...
The triad.
He's the third one with OJ. OJ and Whitey Herzog.
And Whitey Herzog.
Yeah. That, I'm almost banning you from
last
society.
In close.
Mobile Evil Knievel. This guy is hitting the ramp while the truck is
running. Little GTA action here. There's a truck with a ramp on it. It's moving towards him. Here comes the motorcycle. Oh, yeah. Way up in the... Oh, he didn't land it at all.
Double
leg jamming.
Did not
land it at all.
How did they think physics was going to work?
Way up in the air. And no, just did not at all. Now, that's a video, Brady. Frogman was a waste of everyone's time. Man. Wow.
We ended on a high note.
Wow.
I wish I was high.
Yeah. I would have rather have been highly inebriated before Frogman showed up with that happy face. Oh, that's right. I forget again. Brady's got some elderly friends of his parents here in town, so he's got a... That's right.
John, you mean my mom's sister?
That's right. Well, yeah, elderly friends of your parents.
John, in honor of Brady and Froggy, you got to do the Night of the Singing Dead.
Oh, Frogman? Yeah, we'll put the Frogman in there. I'll get him on there. Sure. Well, Brady can do that one.
There you go, yes.
You know, your son does a wholesome fun show, and I didn't know the Frogman had passed, so he's informational as well. The man he works with is a little blue.
11 minutes later.
Oh, my God, this is your fault.
Bot! Right,
here we go. Time to play Bot. This is how it works. You guys are going to now... Here are the items on Richard's receipt.
Let me see that real quick.
Okay. And we're going to get a number in Bot. I don't know how Bot works. I don't know what Bot...
It's just there.
I know it's money. I just don't know, like...
It's hard to calculate the exchange. When you're there too.
And somehow or another, Toledo's got to pay in baht that he doesn't have.
Because the more you exchange, the more...
You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, this is not, that sentence started
it's
bad.
That's how it works.
That was a little word avalanche. That wasn't good. What are you doing over there?
I got to put it in.
Just got to convert it.
You're doing it on the wrong day.
I am?
Sorry.
Oh, I thought it was today.
Sorry.
It doesn't matter. It's time for the Doug Hopkins $5,000 giveaway. We're going to qualify people right now by giving you some items on a receipt. You guess the exact price. Text 97936. Your guess with just numbers, decimal points, and numbers. Do they have decimal points in Thailand?
They do.
Okay. Is it 5K or is it 5,000 baht?
5,000 baht. I mean, yeah. If you get this one and you're the winner, we're going to exchange it in baht. All right.
And how many?
Holy sweet Jesus. Is that a thing? There's two decimal points. Is that a comma?
No, that's a comma.
Oh, okay. All right, here we go. I don't know what
my
this.
Aunt says, tell John I'm not elderly.
Yes,
not
she
even
is.
Close.
No, you're elderly. How old is she? Brady's elderly, Mary.
By definition.
Mary's, yeah.
That's elderly. Sorry, Mary. It's not always a bad word. You're very mobile and you look great. Live with it. Brady's elderly, for God's sakes. I'm right on his heels. Elderly starts for women, 28. Anyway, here we go.
Good point.
Inspired to 40.
Yep.
Here's Toledo's. Now, this is just for how many? This is four people.
Four people.
Four people flying to.
Flying from
all
Bangkok.
Right, hold on. I got you. AsianAir.com is where you got this deal.
That's right.
Okay.
Part of their frequent flyer miles now, too, John.
What?
Four guests. I'm going to tell you that the taxes and surcharges on this are 3,120 baht.
Okay, okay.
If you feel like it, I put the exchange rate that day at the bottom of the page.
Four tickets. Oh, I'm going to start. Four tickets from where to where? Toledo doesn't even say. From
Bangkok to Tokyo.
Bangkok to Tokyo.
On AirAsia.
On AirAsia.
Sounds horrible.
You can go to AirAsia.com and try to figure this out.
Better than...
Evidently, it's in Thai baht. The taxes and surcharges are $3,120. The cost of the tickets... I don't know what their tax rate is. Then there's add-ons. Your checked baggage. You're going to have that.
Yep.
I'll tell you, seat add-ons. I don't know if they... Otherwise, I wouldn't give you...
It's a little bit like...
It's Allegiant Air?
You have to pay to buy your seat. Well, United did that, too, for us on the way to
all right,
Tokyo.
I'll tell you this. Your seat add-on for four seats, just to get the seats and the ticket, are 2,235 baht. We haven't even gotten to the ticket price.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this, Brady. In Thai baht, his four tickets with taxes, surcharges, and add-ons is somewhere between 14,500 baht and 59,300 baht.
That's right, 1,000. I'm a big baller.
Yeah, that's right. You are balling. This bill had to make you feel like you've made it. Toledo pays baht. I can get that in one. I don't even have to split that charge on the credit card. Now, if you want to go to the Thai exchange, you can do that on the internet, too, and try to figure things out, what a normal ticket from Hong Kong to Thailand is or wherever.
And today's rate is lower than what I paid on
this is a. I'll tell you this. It's a five-figure answer. Somewhere, I'll just narrow it down, between 15,000 baht and 60,000 baht. Brady, what's your guess? He has 51,045 baht and 95 baht cents.
So 51045?
51045 is what he's got.
A little high, Bob.
I'm going to say Brady's up there a little bit. Mm-hmm. So now we've narrowed it back. Somewhere under Brady's 51,000.
So you're flying on benches. You don't even have seats.
Well, if you don't buy the seat
it's a
add-on.
Good airline.
Yep.
I just think of Eddie Murphy and the Golden Child flying to Tibet. Yeah. That's how I figure AirAsia
I see. No, to be fair to Toledo, they're on TV all the time. I see AirAsia almost every episode of Air Disasters. Now, is West Wing Level 4 the guy's name flying the plane, or is that actually where you meet? It says West Wing.
That's where he's sitting.
That's I think it's who he's sitting by.
He's on the way back.
Hi, West Wing. Oh, hi, West Wing. I'm Richard. It says, Toledo doesn't have any money. Quit trying to scam us with his receipt. We don't have any American money. But he's got
baht.
Thousands of baht. And he's going to fly his whole family over there. All right. Somewhere between 15,000 baht and 50,000 baht.
A couple of people are getting close.
All right.
Don't forget the decimal point, people. Yes. Everybody's doing just a
five-figure answer there. 15,000 to 50,000 baht. Somewhere in there. We'll narrow it down later, but my God. I don't know what a baht is, but it's costly. All right, Brett. Give us that video.
All right.
While people text away, 97936.
I got some short ones here, but right. We'll start with this one.
Oh, okay. See morons hanging out of the side of a car.
Mooning
his ass out. He falls right out the window on the freeway. He was going to moon, but he's too skinny. And when he gets to the side of the window,
he doesn't have anything to hold on to.
The wind picks him up like a sail and moves him right out of the car. Don't moon like that. I remember I learned the word kunkel from, kunkel was a word I used or learned when my dad's friends got drunk at a Steelers game when I was a little kid and they were driving us back to Morgantown. And his friend Ron goes, ah, and he put his ass out the window and everybody goes, your kunkel's out. I still don't know what it is, but evidently the whole kit and caboodle flew out the window upside. He was evidently beastly. I didn't understand sizes at that time. And the whole thing just flopped right out the car window and pulling him back in was difficult.
Like truck nuts.
Wow. On the side of the car. Yeah. And evidently his package. And they laughed. Almost a full 2 hours. Back in the late 70s, it was different. Your parents would get drunk and drive you around. You sat in the back of the pickup with your new uncle.
There's one of those bad OSHA videos.
Oh, OSHA. Oh, guy in the bottom of a ditch trying to put a pipe in. And he's the only one down in this ditch, probably about 15 feet into the earth. Oh, the Walter came in. The Walter's came in. Oh, they've got to dig him out of there. It's going to cost a lot of baht to get that guy out.
They wanted me to play this one for Brady.
Okay. Somebody abusing food?
No.
Better not be.
Oh,
not abusing food, no.
That's a legless whacker.
He's legless and he's at a
under
bus stop.
Smokey the Bear poster.
Yeah, there's a Smokey poster and he is. He looks like Sammy Hagar with no legs.
Who's the artist looking down on his t-shirt?
He's got a t-shirt. I think it's Luther Vandross. And it looked relatively new.
It did.
Somebody just threw him a Luther shirt.
And he's looking down. Luther's looking down.
Cover that nonsense up. Here's my Luther shirt.
This broad's going to have to hit Action Ride Shop.
You know what they should do? If that is Luther Vandross, is put Dance with My Father on that video.
Oh, God.
Well, that legless man whacks off. All right. I've never seen that. Oh, riding a bike. She's on a course. She's jumping. One jump. Missed.
Oh, man.
Does she get. Oh, she eats it. She didn't get the gold medal that day.
No. Nice butt, though.
Wow, she bikes. It's too bad she can't feel anything from the waist down anymore. Yeah. What a waste of a nice ass.
It's a flat road.
Paraplegic. It's the Stephen Hawking race.
Oh, wow.
Girlfriend in a shopping cart, and they push her down the road.
It's like in New Orleans or something.
Slams her into a light.
Head first.
She's dead. Oh, man. Shopping cart races with what you thought would be an easy, light girlfriend, but all right.
Oh,
here's a car accident on a freeway and some. That's an avalanche.
Yeah,
boulders. Just
look at that car, though.
Wow, just crushed people on a freeway. Wow, geez, Brett, you've killed a lot of people today.
You think they'll total that one out? Yeah, I don't think Shane Orlando's going to fix that one.
I get amazing, but
I'll rebend the frame, make it right.
And I'm
let me handle your insurance company.
This was titled Mexican Wind Tunnel.
Okay,
no.
Oh, no. I know. I don't like this at all already. All right, here we go. Oh, it's a bunch of butts stacked on top of each other. It's six women.
One out of six, maybe.
Stacked in three. And it's just a...
Keep watching.
No!
Oh,
you can only imagine that the Mexican Tabernacle Choir is throwing up a little bit. Top one is drippy. One of them is super duper drippy.
Top one's out for the future video.
Oh, man. Sesame Street is different in Mexico.
I can take that better than the whole sleeve.
Oh, no. The drip part.
Uno,
dos, tres.
Yeah, the Mexican count. We're going to count to six today. Stack the butts. One, two, three.
So Urban Dictionary has a bunch of options for your kunkle.
Yeah, what is a kunkle?
First one is either an uncle who is very close to your own age or a cousin who is much older than
like
you.
Like a cousin uncle.
And then let me give you the use it in a sentence version of this one. Her kunkle was like a wizard's sleeve made of 4-inch thick steaks.
All right. Yeah, there you go. I think that's
what this guy had is a wizard's sleeve for a wiener, and they called it a kunkle.
Geez, you can see her kunkle through her jeans.
So it's mostly for women. Not when Ron hung it out of the car window somewhere between Morgantown and Pittsburgh. His kunkle was out.
Kunkling is the action that occurs when your knuckles force your nails into the side of a woman's vagina.
All right, I'm just going to delete you for a minute. That's just disgusting. You're disgusting. You've done this long enough to know you can't read that.
Follow that up after those butt loogies we just watched?
We just watched six butts chewing Copenhagen, and you want to follow it up? Yeah. Take a lap. all right, try to guess that thing right there. It's Doug Hopkins, price guarantee.
Anyone close?
Okay. You got anybody yet?
Like three people are close. Nobody's in yet, though.
Hong Kong to Thailand
and
somewhere.
And there's a lot of people still putting it in American dollars with four figures and a decimal point.
How long is that flight, Hong Kong, to where you're going?
6 hours.
It's 6 hours from Hong Kong to Thailand?
Not Hong Kong, Bangkok.
Bangkok. I don't know where you're going.
Same thing.
Wow, that's still
it all looks like
over there.
Completely different.
Bangkok to Thailand.
Thailand.
6 hours.
6 hours.
And you're flying Asia Air,
mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you right now, the taxes are 3,120 baht. Somewhere between 15,000 and 50,000 baht is the answer that could get you on stage winning 5,000 American dollars like a decent human being right there at U-Fest next Friday night. Easy peasy. Simple stuff. There you go. That is your Brady Report. It's 98KUPD.
Arizona's most powerful. Rock radio station.
You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it. What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-P-D.
All right, there you go. It's the White Stripes. Sounds racist, but it's not. What's the? We're doing the Doug Hopkins game here. What just happened? What was
somebody found Brady's spot?
Hens, soul food corn dogs, Asian soul food.
Soul fresh corn dogs.
S-E-O-U-L, right? The South Korean corn dogs. It's just a picture, Brady. It's not going to come to life the longer you stare at it.
It may as well say, Brady, you are here on the window.
Welcome, Blady. Why does it say that?
We're going to walk into the screen.
Yeah, I thought you...
Cha-ching, I'm home. Tring.
Here we got this going on. We got the Doug Hopkins money guarantee. No one is in yet today. 97936 is the thing.
A lot of people are high. Like they're at the ceiling of what you said 50,000.
Yeah,
they're pushing that.
Right. I'm going to hit you hard here. I'm going to give you the answer. Giving you the answer.
Look at this.
Because we're running. You know, we're at 8:42 here. This thing only goes for another 20 or 30 minutes. So 97936 is the text. Doug Hopkins waiting to give somebody $5,000. You qualify today if you guess the proper price. On today's receipt. Now, today's receipt is in Thai baht. And it's because Toledo's flying off to Thailand again this year because he just couldn't get enough of that delicious place last time. Taking the same vacation he took last year.
That same.
Pretty much. Everything over there looks exactly alike.
You're not wrong.
There's nothing different. Four people flying from Bangkok to Thailand.
Tokyo. Bangkok is in Thailand.
All right, I don't know where you're going.
It's all over there.
Bangkok.
From Thailand to Tokyo.
I don't know. I'm busy answering all your emails. Four people. They asked for dates. We said the dates don't really matter. You get a roundabout figure. End of May, early June. I'm going to tell you the answer. Now, I gave you it was between 15,000 baht and 50,000 baht. You guess it right there. 97936, somewhere. That's a pretty wide range. Now I'm going to give it to you because nobody's getting it. Four tickets. I told you the taxes, and I don't even know what their percentage is. 3,120 baht is the tax on the total price. He had 5,362 baht in add-ons.
That's before the ticket price.
Baller over here. Nice. Yeah,
so we've been talking about this. This is easy to look up. I'm
Spare
giving
no
you
no expense, Brett.
I'm giving you the answer. If the number he paid was dollars, it would be $50,012.03 less than Caitlin Clark's first year's salary in the WNBA.
There you go.
Okay. $50,012.03 less than Caitlin Clark's rookie season salary in the WNBA. Everybody's going on and on about that. No, I'm not going to tell you that salary. You can look that up. You can do your work. You got time. So if it were bot, it doesn't really matter. It would be 50,012 baht and 3 baht cents. I don't know what they
less.
Use. Less than her salary currently. As she signs on with the WNBA. What a gift she is. You got it? Now, Brady yesterday was at Viet Shack, and Brett and I were in here, and Brady popped off with,
Tong just texted me.
So they're text. They've exchanged numbers. Brady's exchanged numbers with a guy who just runs a little Vietnamese restaurant in Tempe.
And both of us looked at each other like, what the?
You're texting with Tong?
Oh, yeah.
And then we heard the truth, and he won't admit this, but the truth was,
I told him we were pretty heavy on talking about his item, and I needed that receipt.
Which is Brady's way of going,
how about you rub my back now?
So it's free Viet Shack for Brady for a long time. Right.
Why don't you hand me that number there, Thong? Thong, 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 thong.
And what did he say back to you?
He said, we got a few new customers yesterday. In fact, one, I got a call this morning. This was yesterday.
Yeah.
And we had a guy order exactly what you did and then cancel.
Oh.
To get the number.
He called in.
Oh, that's and a dick move.
That's a dick move. Yeah.
That, was, some
that was smart of them.
Yeah.
And then that's he said, did you announce a winner yesterday or today?
Yeah, we announced it. Congratulations. Thank you, Tong, for participating yesterday. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that one.
And I don't know how you get the phone number of that guy. So friendly.
Instagram.
Is it?
Yeah.
You guys are Instagram pals?
No.
Okay, so you go in, you order a couple of spring rolls.
Let me talk to the guy in charge of this little operation.
He comes over. Can I help you?
You can help me by being my new best friend. What's your phone number?
How does it accelerate to that?
I just roll in there like you were saying. Let me see your tong to tong tong tong.
You wanted to talk to the manager.
He's there.
Okay, so you're talking to him. I talked to countless amounts of people in restaurants.
He's the guy on the register.
I've got no one's phone number. So the guy in the register. So it's just and then you end. How do you get his number? How do you do that?
Because I told him, I go, there's a good chance we'll use this receipt on our game last.
So just got it the other day.
Yeah.
The phone number. Oh,
yeah. Because I was going to use the receipt, and I go, would you like to hear what we're the? And I'll say, I'll give you. I'll let you know what day we're doing it.
Ah. So he knows the morning cup is in effect.
I work a little radio program here in town, fairly successful. Probably let you know what I do since I know what you do.
And then on a napkin, I wrote down a figure of what he owes me. Here's and I slid it to you. Here's what it's going to be.
If this were ad dollars, what you're getting here, Tong. So I can make that. I'll cut that in half and free Viet Shack rolls.
Susan's in her office now just spinning because he's giving away all this free advertising.
Yeah. Not only that, he's got a better relationship with the owner than most of our salespeople have with their clients.
Not a good relationship, Brady. Eat out of house and home. Have to sell car to make even on advertising I did not ask for.
People just coming in ordering. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're coming in now.
Stop. Don't put the comma in.
Decimal, you don't need a comma. Oh, you don't need a comma either? Okay, don't comma.
Yes. Is that the right number? Okay.
Two of them.
Yeah, right a couple of good ones, but they
keep
didn't
the comma
count.
Out.
Yeah, don't comma. I didn't know that our thing did that. So, yeah, just the straight five numbers, decimal, and then bot cents.
Yep.
So, yeah. So if it's the 50,012 and 3 that I told you, no comma, 50012.03, exactly that amount less than Caitlin Clark's salary for her first year.
I think those are WNBA fans that nailed it because they...
Yeah, I think they knew that.
Well, no, she's pulling down 76K.
I don't know what it is, but good luck to all of you.
Now we got 100 people in.
Ah, we just gave you the answer. In bot.
It's an international learning exercise today. We got Tong from Vietnam. We got your bot people. Yeah, I've been to a lot of restaurants. Never once have I befriended the guy ringing me up to the point where we're texting each other later.
Oh, to that
That's impressive.
Okay. I was going to say, you know people that work in restaurants, though. Peter, well, I guess he wasn't cooking the food. Didn't own it.
I haven't spoken to him for ages.
Oh.
Aftermath, my dude, you know him?
Charles and I, high school was a different thing. We knew, and that was because of Ian Schwartz. That wasn't just for being at Aftermath. I'd been to Aftermath 1,000 times, and then Charles and Ian, he introduced me through Ian, so I didn't meet him at the restaurant. I'm trying to think if I know any, like, restaurant people that I text with. Do you? No.
Other than my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know her phone number?
Couldn't tell you offhand, but all right. It's on my phone.
I have Medea's number, yeah. Too. I have Medea's number. I don't have any. Brady, you're amazing. You just met Tong.
How many restaurant owners do you have in your phone? I guess is even a better.
Oh, don't start that.
But not only that, and I know this for certain, Brady's been to funerals of restaurant owners.
Wow.
Sure have.
That's right. He's gotten to be so...
Pour out a little liquor for your homies.
He's gotten to be so close to the restaurant people that when they pass, Brady's at their ceremony.
Paul Bearer.
Oh, that's right. You carried one of them.
Oh, man.
Met strictly because of your love of pizza. Never was it like, hey, this is my friend.
Who's the guy behind the counter? I want to take a look at your operation. Give me your phone number.
Oh, and you're on the wall, or were.
Yeah.
Texas Grill, he's on the wall.
That's right.
He is?
Business card.
You knew,
the
owner of that guy. And that dude used to fax him. Whole family would show up here at the station. What's going on? Oh, Texas faxed us a deal. We're going there for lunch. I'm like, what?
Family. Rally. We're heading across town. There's a chicken fried steak with our name on it.
John, I know you don't care, but just for the record, Tong is very friendly, has no accent. We always talk about sports.
Hide accent!
He's very talkative, so it does not surprise me that Brady has his phone number.
From a very northern secret area of Michigan. The Vietnamese area with a Japanese accent for no reason.
But it's like Dr. Lin. He don't have an accent either.
Come on. It's just more fun when a guy named Tong has an accent.
Have some fun.
Yeah. Let me paint the pictures around here. Give me my paintbrush back. Sure, Tong's from Michigan and he runs a Vietnamese restaurant. That's not very authentic. I want a guy who pops out of the ground and throws rice at me. That's Vietnam.
There is a tunnel system under the restaurant.
Yeah. I want tunnel rats to live in my food. And you just hear, oh, Jesus Christ, and they pop up. And then a little hut burns in the corner and people's helicopters going by. That's what I want. I don't even know what Vietnamese food is, but I know what Vietnam is, and it wasn't good.
Robert Duvall there in the background, too?
Tell you this. Yeah, Charlie Don't Surf. That's exactly. That was what I would call my Vietnamese restaurant.
I would go to that.
Charlie Don't Surf is my restaurant. I don't want. Hi, that's I'm Tom. My parents got me out of Vietnam. You know, I don't care about this. This isn't real. Like Mexican sushi chefs.
That's why I stopped by the first time, because of the name Viet Shack. I thought, oh, okay, this is kind of...
That drew you in?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Charlie Don't Surf gets me in. Viet Shack sounds like a shack in Vietnam. It's everything you'd... all right. Tong sounds great. And I also like that you keep your head on a swivel. We're not necessarily even that hungry. You're just like,
what do we got around here? There's one. I'm heading towards it.
You take chances not many men would take, and we find that to be quite brave. And then you make friends with the guy who runs the place. You're not a normal man. And for that, we salute you. All right, people are getting in on it now. Just a few more minutes, and you can maybe qualify. We'll have our third qualifier of six for the glorious Doug Hopkins money giveaway. That's as simple as it gets. We got Rock Wars coming up in a little while, too. It's 98.
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station. UPD.
You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
We're getting ever so close to giving somebody their qualifying phone call. So if you get a phone call from somebody today that you just you don't recognize that number and you normally skip it, it could be Toledo. And that's something you would normally want to skip, but not today. Because he's going to call you and try to qualify you for $5,000 from Doug Hopkins. That's as good as it gets right there. And so I don't know if you've got time left to text, but give it one last shot if you haven't gotten your little message that said congratulations, you're in. A lot of you did. Today's number in Thai Bot would be exactly $50,012.03 less than Caitlin Clark's annual salary if Toledo was paying in American money. In fact, since we're down to the last minute,
Roger!
I'm going to slowly bleed out the answer.
Shutting it down?
I can, yeah.
All right, shut it down. Before he shuts it down, you got time. 97936. 26,522.97 is today's number. That's it. I just gave you the answer. You got to, like, Toledo is currently shutting down the system as we speak. 26,522 bot and 97 bot cents. Don't include the comma. We'll see if that qualifies more people, right? As the last second, Toledo has shut her down.
Time!
That'll do it. Easy enough. I got another. We're talking about the guy that broke into that house, the pedophile burglar that they're talking about that got arrested for breaking into that house the other day. The next door at people that were saying, oh, violence won't ever solve a problem like this and that. This guy just emailed me and said, violence solves all the problems. I walked into my house once, went into the bathroom, and he said, and I've never been more afraid in my life. There was a dude standing in my shower. Can you imagine? Like coming home from work and whatever, and you just kind of half paying attention, going to the bathroom. And then, well, it depends on who you are. I mean, those KDKB guys would love it. Free man.
Well, hello.
Ooh. But for us normals, boy, oh boy, would that be scary. Just have some stranger in your shower. And the dude goes on to tell me the story of how after about the eighth time pushing his head up against the shower wall, he realized the job was done. And then finished it with violence solved everything that day. Turned out the dude he bashed up against the wall rap sheet like a mile long. But that's just weird. Like a guy just breaks into your house and stands in the shower. Then you get the emails that I did get the other one that said, you know, he had a drinking and drug problem. And that's just more of a bigger issue in America that we have to with mental health and this. I'm like, yeah, but we're beyond that. Once he's in my house, I don't care so much anymore about the mental health issues we have in America. He's getting his head bashed up against some stuff. Then later we'd be like, man, we got a mental health issue. Got to stop that. But once it breaches my door frame without my permission, I don't really care about America's mental health problem. I'm currently in a situation with one individual. I'm going to handle it. I just got an email that said, I'm not taking any calls from Tasha. Well, then you won't qualify for the money. Tasha might call you today.
Your loss.
You just don't know. Brett is currently in charge of the Rock Wars topic. We'll get to that in just a second. I'm going to play this break, and then we'll find out what Brett's got for us for Rock Wars. That's coming up next. It's 98.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Yep. And then it makes us talk about Last Action Hero, which is never a good thing.
Crap. Ugh,
crap movie.
Soundtrack's great.
I always get emails from people when we bring up the big gun from AC/DC was from Last Action Hero. It's even one of the more underrated action just because action movies. No, it's bad. The kid is terrible. Again, you don't want kids being heroes in anything. Kids and small women. Like when Charlize Theron started knocking people out with one punch.
It's no Spy Kids.
No, it's not. And Spy Kids, right in, I appreciate that in the title. Spy Kids, which is the like kind of the bug spray for me being in there. So it's just hosing me off with some sort of deterrent by having the word kids.
But at least you know it's going to suck because you're going into it and it's got kids in the title.
I'm not going into it because it has kids in the title.
But Last Action Hero, it's like, oh, Schwarzenegger movie, it's going to be great.
Name me a movie that has kid in the title, and they're talking about kids, not like Heartbreak Kid or Flamingo Kid, but there's actual kids in the title where you're like, God, I'm the Karate Kid may be the only one. But like a movie with the word kid in it, in the title?
Yeah, that's... Because Stand By Me is great, but there's no kids in the title.
In the title, right? Yeah. Stand By Me is as told from the perspective of an adult.
Yeah.
And it's about a dead body, which is pretty cool. Yeah, there's no movies with the word kids in the title. It makes me go, oh, what a great movie. Yeah, I'm surprised, yeah.
Yeah.
Hasn't even been like a real serious one, like Kids of the Holocaust or something. They don't even, like that, I wouldn't even see that.
You mentioned A Flamingo Kid, and that's not even a good movie.
No, that's not a good movie. Yeah, it's hard-pressed to find a good one with. It's okay.
It's not okay.
It's not a good movie. Yeah, there's no movie with the word kids in the title that you're like, wow. Nothing.
Let's see here.
And aren't roll-up doors just garages? I mean, we're all trying to figure it out. None of us know.
Is that a new woke term?
We're very confused. Yeah, is there something about saying garage door that makes it politically incorrect? What? The roll-up door. I realize that I have electric roll-up doors at my house, too. It's just a garage door, isn't it? I don't know. I got to make some calls. Anyway, Brett, you are in charge.
Genie.
I need a genie to answer some questions. What do you need? What the are you talking about? It's just a garage door, right? No, it's not a door or a gate. I don't know. I'm confused. What do you got for a topic this week for Rock Horse, Brett?
I don't even have a song for it yet, so I'll need help too. So.
Oh.
But I don't care because I think it's a perfect topic. We were talking earlier about Brady having Tong's number in his phone and stuff. So let's do Tong and Brady's ringtone. So when Tong calls Brady up, what is the ringtone? I'm banning Fortunate Son because that's going to be,
right,
I know,
Vietnamese, it's going to be. Vietnamese song. So you could
it
go.
It could be anything, but just Fortunate Son's out.
Fortunate Son's an easy one. Yeah. That's Sean Phil's put that in their head. So, all right. So Fortunate Son, so the owner of Viet Shack and
calls Brady, yeah.
Who are pen pals through text and call each other. They're fast friends.
Mm-hmm.
When he calls. Now, is it when he calls Brady or when Brady calls him?
He can go either way. We'll go either
one
way.
One for each would actually be. All right. That's a good one. I like that. Because Brady has somehow or another made pals with the dude that rung him up at a restaurant. We all know why. He won't say it.
I'm running this thing called the Morning Cup over on KUPD, and I can do a lot for your beeswax.
Very good. What do I owe you?
You just keep me swimming in that Viet rice, and we're going to be in good shape together. You've been Morning Cupped.
Who is the other guy always call Morning Cup different name?
Ah, he just hijacks the show, that fella. Ignore him, it's the cup. I'm coming over for my free, you're welcome lunch.
I also want to ban Celebrate Me Home.
Okay.
I think Brady just dedicates that to everybody that thinks that when they're thinking of Brady, they're just excited.
Darn it.
All right, let's get to it. What do you got? Holmberg at 98kupd.com. That is where you text your suggestion on the ringtone when Brady and Tong from Viet Shack communicate. Just becoming a regular thing. Because we're just blown away that he makes friends with restaurant owners so easily. And they're just in his phone. I don't have any. It's weird. All right. Text 97936. You can call us if you'd like. 585-9800. Find out that way. Rock Wars coming up next.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
It's time for the weekly battle of musical supremacy known only as Rock Wars. It's brought to you by our friends over at Mo Money Pawn, and that's as easy as me finding the page. Usually it's right up front. There it is. Short or long-term collateral loans from $10 to over $100,000. No credit needed. Top dollar paid with the entire process, just taking several minutes. MoMoneyPawn.com.
And it is Byron's birthday month, too.
That is right. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Byron's birthday month.
Real.
Yeah, today. Yeah. Last week was, yeah.
Go in, guess Byron's age. If you get it right, that's the percentage you get off on your purchase.
Nice.
If you get it wrong.
The percentage you get off on your purchase is the number you set. The only thing that has to happen is Byron has to agree to it. Happy birthday, Byron. Thank you, Mo Money Pawn. The topic this week, Brett is the winner, so he chose the ringtone for Brady and his blossoming affair with Tong from Viet Shack in Tempe. As we discovered this morning, they are now texting each other. Well, Brady's bothering Tong and he's being nice. Eventually, there'll be a restraining order.
You can say, give him a little leeway until he pushes it too far.
Now, all right, I'll save it. But Brett and I are in a fight.
Yeah.
But I'll let you.
Well, go ahead, because you're already.
I want to default.
Feel defeated.
I chose. My brain went right to a song when I heard the topic. I'm like, it's funny, and then I had the angle on it. I'm like, but I don't know. Is it? Do I want to? Then I got an email from somebody that had the same suggestion and same reasoning. I'm like, all right, this is a good idea. I go in to turn my submission in, and I told Toledo my song, and he goes, no, Brett's already got it. And I'm like, God damn it, f*** you, Vesely.
Great minds think alike.
So then I had to go back, and I'm like, oh, I'm thinking of this, isn't that. So I have Tong's phone is not what I'm doing, but Tong's phone is Rockwell's Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me. If that was for that was when I was going to go with Rockwell. For Brady, it's more of just like a blossoming new love affair, and we all know my theme song for love. Brian Adams, everything I do it for you. So he would assume that Tong, who's the provider of all Vietnamese food to Brady now for free for the rest of his life, or as long as Tong lives, because Tong will end up killing himself.
Wait, did your ex really know what she was doing when she wrote these lyrics
out? Yeah,
you
know,
amazing. I mean, man.
You know, it's weird. She wrote them years after Brian Adams did, and yet still it resonates.
It doesn't have the meaning that, you know, when Brian did it.
Nothing I want more. You know it's true. Everything I do it for you. And I think the way Brady thinks is the celebrate me home thing is that he assumes Tong would say these words to him.
Morning cup.
All right, so Brian Adams, everything I do it for you.
Go ahead, Brady.
Okay, so mine is Tong's ringtone.
Okay.
For when I'm calling, he knows I'm coming in hot. So
it's every restaurant in the valley, but
get prepared.
I think after
Brett, good for his.
After Brady leaves Viet Shack, I assume Tong just showers like the end of Silkwood.
Oh, so dirty, so gross.
I went with the Flight of the Valkyries from Richard Wagner,
or Ride of the Valkyries.
Wagner. Yeah, Wagner. First of all,
him Wagner,
Robert Wagner, Mr. Hart.
Listen, there's only one thing you need to know right now. Number two.
That's right. The Flight of the Valkyrie. This is how he drives in. This is on Tong's phone. This is how you warn him of your impending arrival.
Knows who's calling.
Right. And he just starts, we need them all, right?
Round ice coming.
Never enough.
All right, we're on Flight of the Valkyries. All right, Brad, go ahead.
Throw down some smoke flares for my landing zone.
This one just seemed the most appropriate, especially with it being Brady. Because it all started last week when, you know, Toledo was talking about going to Cambodia.
First off, it didn't start last week.
Well, you know what I'm saying, but the idea came up. Yeah. Right. But Brady's talking about, you know, Toledo going to Cambodia and just jumping off the plane and yelling, good morning, Vietnam. So obviously he's confused with all the Asian culture.
Yeah.
So I figured nothing would be more appropriate than when Brady's walking down the hall and all of a sudden... All of a sudden, Carl Douglas starts up. Kung Fu Fighting.
He doesn't know the difference between any Asians.
No.
This is as close as... Tong's close enough. Kung Fu Fighting.
He could be trained in the arts.
And then the beat. No.
He did it again. He just confirmed your pick.
Thank you, Brady.
Here we go.
Everybody was Kung Fu Fighting.
China, Japan.
it's over there.
Vietnam. They all get along. They're all pals. All right. That was the one I was going to pick. I'd like to default my choice to Brett. God damn it. It's mine. You want to vote? Holmberg at 98kupd.com. You can text 97936. The word is WARS, W-A-R-S. You can call us, 585-9800. We'll find out who wins next. It's 98.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
I actually prefer that. All right, let's... Oh, yeah, we're in Rock Wars, aren't we? I forgot.
No, he's still alive.
It's a runaway. The guy who's saying Kung Fu Fighting's still alive, darn it.
81 years old.
Well, cross your fingers that before October that he goes, we're going to do it.
Still has a good kick.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get him for U-Fest and Night of the Singing Dead.
There you go.
If we get the perfect year here, that'd be perfect. Anyway, emails abound, and they're all Brett, like, which is me.
No, I got mine in first.
He's killing it everywhere.
It's ridiculous. Brett, just let's just get it over. Brett wins this week. Garbage. Got an email that says, Kung Fu Fighting is the winner. I thought to myself, I think I'm turning Japanese for the same reasons. But either way, whichever you chose, Brady's ignorance for that region is on full display.
That was the theme. Best region ever.
You had player song about Japanese boxing.
It's Chinese.
Sure. Whatever.
And that region is north of Japan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's all of it.
Get off from Cambodia. Good morning, Vietnam. Then head north.
Anyway, well, we'll just get right to it. It's a great song. People forget how good this song actually is. Kung Fu Fighting's a solid whip right here. And it kicks. I mean, you can't not get excited right now. Come on. Everybody feels it. Carl Douglas, still alive. For now. Fingers crossed we can pull this. This will kick. I promise you, if he dies before October.
Brady will sing it for us?
No, God, no. We want it to be fun. This is what we'll open with if Carl doesn't make it to October. Congratulations, Brett.
Thank you.
Sort of me, too. It's Carl Douglas, posted.
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station.
K-U-P-D. You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-P-D.
It was high in the 70s. Everybody. You think people smoked a lot, like, today? They were letting that go, and those were hit songs.
Yeah.
A black dude dressed up like Hong Kong Phooey, throwing his fist through rice paper, singing about Chinese martial arts. Everybody's like, fine by that. It was a much better time. Much better time. So we were talking about, like, Paul Revere and the Raiders did the Cherokee People song, right? And then you had Cher singing about Indian stuff. And well, you were allowed to do all sorts of things back then. Couldn't get away with that today. It's time now for the entertainment drill before we get the hell out of here. And it's brought to you by our friends over at reactdefense.com, the home of Tactical Black. And here's the thing. They got the weapons seminar coming up here in June. You got to get that. You got to get on that deal. You got a couple other seminars that are available to general people. But let's just get right to it. I got an email from a guy who said, you're always saying that private trainers are like $100 an hour. I got a guy I go to three times a week. And he's only $600 for the whole month. He gets, that's pretty good. You got a good deal there. Still not as good as $199 for the whole month. And you can go every day if you want to React Defense. That's how that works up there. So, yeah, you got a pretty decent deal. I bet you're bored, too, because you're not going to get all this brand new stuff. I'm going to be there today. Hopefully, Suns announcer Kevin Ray will join me today because he's loving that stuff, too. It's different. I've had personal trainers, too, and I'm not bashing personal training. They're good. But this is personal training, doing things you can't get in a gym. That's as simple as it gets. Plus, they have the cardio stuff. You're going to get in good shape. You're going to learn new things. And the seminars are amazing. $199. How about that? And you can get on that thing. And that includes the 1 month of training and the weapons seminar. They'll throw that in there. Get on board right now. That is a great deal for all they offer. And you can find out all they offer at reactdefense.com, the home of Tactical Black. Brady Entertainment.
We heard about the Naked Gun reboot that Liam Neeson is taking over the role for Lieutenant Frank Drebin.
He's his son, right?
We got another cast member to announce.
Oh, no.
Hey, the Twitter world. Brady.
Norberg.
Did I get the role back as Norberg Sr. Jr.?
I'm sorry.
What? My recent passing makes it so I'm not going to be able to. Could I play Norberg from hell? Maybe I could.
There is a shot.
The Queen's down here with me, and that's who we tried to save in the first one. So I'm just saying. Anyway, Nicole says, blah, hi. All right, I got to go. So long, everybody. I miss you all.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus. All right, you know, like,
that roll of doors pretty loud.
Pamela Anderson has joined the
needs
cast.
Needs to be electric.
What do you need, Tasha? OJ needs a door.
That's who we got it from.
So Pamela Anderson will play Jane Spencer.
So wait a minute.
Played by Priscilla Presley.
It's because I had read that Liam Neeson was playing son of Drebin.
Drebin.
Right. Frank Drebin.
Yeah.
And so if she's playing Lisa Marie's part, then that would be his sister.
Yeah. Well, it's not clear that she'll be the same name as Jane Spencer.
So she'll be taking
the
lead female role.
Okay.
Because if it's Drebin's kid, that would make, and then she's Priscilla's kid, that means they're related.
Yeah, I think she's just going to be the love interest. Maybe a different name, but Jenna Jameson and her wife, Jessie Lawless, are divorcing.
Yep, I saw that.
Drinking. She said she got into the relationship and said from the start that if the drinking starts, it's over.
Yeah, Jenna lied about it, too.
Went on a trip. Married for 8 months.
Said she wasn't drinking, and then the new wife, Jessie, whipped out some photos.
It's like her fourth divorce.
Yeah, she's not that stable. Imagine that.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Journey's Greatest Hits just spent its 800th week on the Billboard 200.
Yikes. That's pretty good.
Then Loudwire.com put together a list of the greatest songs of the 90s. Rock songs of the 90s.
All right. That's tough. Pearl Jam all over that. Stone Temple Pilots all over that.
You'll be disappointed at number one.
Barbie Girl.
I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. Aerosmith.
Oh, God. That was the death of Aerosmith to me.
Yeah. Number two was Wood. Alice
Great song.
Number three, No Rain. Blind Melon. Yeah. Number four, What's My Age Again?
Ugh. I mean, we got to get something off
number
Pearl
five,
Jam's
Low. Cracker. Yeah. But you're right. And just below that, number six was Zombie.
Black Hole Grant. Sun's not on there.
None of the Nirvana stuff.
None of the Nirvana. I mean, Pearl Jam's 10 is the best album of that first
Alive
5 years.
Was number 15. Closer, number 14. Let's see, another Pearl Jam.
Oh, that's a good one. There Closer's in there.
Interstate Love Song was 18. Hunger Strike, Temple of the Dog, was 19.
Interstate Love Song is better than Zombie.
Number 20 was 46 and 2, Tool.
Yeah, you just get some of that up there.
Friday, I'm in Love was number 8, The Cure.
People eat that up. I don't understand it. It's the Guy Fieri of 90s music.
Flagpole Sitta.
Harvey Danger's on this list?
11.
All right.
Freak on a Leash, Korn, 12.
Yes, no, your list is over. Harvey Danger.
Chili Peppers got to be on there somewhere.
They
under the bridge.
Under the bridge, yeah.
Not in the top 20.
Wow,
that's a farce of a list to throw.
Harvey Danger is.
Blind Melon shouldn't be that high.
Leadership Cracker.
Lump was 16.
Lump is ahead of the.
Yeah.
A Girl Did This.
Throw that away.
Throw that away.
Are You Gonna Go My Way? Lenny Kravitz. 13.
Great song, but not better than no. Sorry, lady, your list is dumb.
Did I say number 7? Higher, Creed.
And it's just all rock songs. Well, that was late 90s, too. And I'll give you the late 90s. Started to have a couple, but like Sugar's not in there. System of a Down.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Lady list. You can tell.
Bias.
Yep.
Fake news.
I just tuned back in. I text Brady, but he didn't answer. Why are you playing this Korean music?
Was that Psy from Gangnam Style?
That's it for us. We're done. Larry's not here today, but we're wishing Larry well. He's got some family stuff to take care of today. Nothing major, but he just can't be in. So Sean Knight's here. Look at that. Woo. Mr. Knight. He will be here for you, taking care of business. Be nice to Sean. He'll be nice back to you. Maybe give you some U-Fest tickets. He's got some other stuff in his pocket that he may just hand over. So be kind, and we'll be with you again tomorrow. That's it for us. You guys have a good one. So long!
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station. 98.7 UPD.